It's time for Twig This Week in Google. Stacey Higginbotham's here. Jeff Jarvis. We're sheltering in place with the latest Google news. Jeff's list of who to follow on Twitter for expert coronavirus advice. Elon Musk says, hell no, I'm not closing the factory. And it's a $1 million award to two computing pioneers. It's all coming up next on Twig. This Week in Google comes to you from Twit's LastPass Studios. Stay in control when it comes to your company's access points and authentication. LastPass makes enterprise-level security simple. Check it out at lastpass.com/twit.
Podcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
This is Twig, This Week in Google, episode 551, recorded Wednesday, March 18th, 2020. Boomer Remover. This episode of This Week in Google is brought to you by Health IQ. Health IQ uses science and data to secure lower life insurance rates for healthy people like you. To see if you qualify, go to healthiq.com/twig and take the Health IQ quiz. It could help you save up to 41% on your life insurance premiums compared to other providers. It's time for Twig This Week in Google, the show where we cover the Googleverse, Facebook, Twitter, and all of that jazz. I am here. Stacey Higginbotham is here from her island lair. See, you're lucky. You're in an island, isolated from the world.
Oh, there's four cases on the island, I think. Now
that's, maybe now it's bad. Now you want to get off the island.
Now I'm stuck on this island.
Stacey on IoT.com, at Giga Stacey. Of course, a great IoT podcast with Kevin Toefel. Mr. Jeff Jarvis is also here. He's in Sconston, New Jersey. We're actually, they're pretty serious in New Jersey, aren't they?
Very serious in New Jersey. Yeah. We don't screw around here.
This is the first town to have a curfew, I think, was Hoboken, aren't they? They're telling you have to go to bed.
Yeah. Well, that's also because Hoboken is filled with obnoxious drunks.
A curfew on St. Patrick's Day makes a lot of sense.
Oh, it does. Get the amateurs off the street.
Yeah. Newark Strong, he's wearing. Oh, is that what that says? No.
No, Newmark
Strong. There's a big difference.
Newmark School.
Oh, okay.
Newmark J School.
Yes.
From CUNY.
CUNY. That's a nice looking.
It is a good hoodie.
Yeah,
isn't it?
It's a good hoodie.
I kind of want it. I went to the Cronkite School. I didn't get a sweatshirt.
Uncle Walter, where's my sweatshirt? We do this show Wednesdays. You may notice there's a slight difference to the way, if you're watching the video, the way we're shooting it. If you listen, you won't notice a difference. But normally we do it at the round table at our big studio. And I am not in the round table. I'm in my office because, of course, we're sheltering in place here. We're one of the now 8 Bay Area counties with the shelter-in-place order. And I was going to do it from the house, but then I realized, well, I actually could come in here. No, I lock the door of my my office, and nobody can come and go. Even engineers can't come in. They don't come in to empty the trash or anything. I do all that. And that way, I feel like this is as safe as my office, except for that brief moment when I'm passing through the hall on the way to the men's room. But I have appropriate
and then
garb.
You wear a cowbell so everybody can be warned.
Shame. So I think, you know, and we have a skeleton crew here. There's one engineer running the board. In fact, the transition took a little longer to get into the show because they wiped the entire board down with sanitizing wipes so that Kevin, who's running the board now, can take over from John. John's going to go home. So we're trying to make it. There's only one engineer here at any one time. There are a couple of skeleton crew staff here. But I think, all our hosts are going to operate from home. I think we're going to be able to do this just fine. And we take this pretty seriously because I think podcasts are going to be one of those places you can go that's short of like the news that's making everybody crazy. It's your friends, and we're talking about stuff you're interested in. We'll talk a little bit about, you know, the virus is impacting.
Cheers song.
Huh?
Podcasts are the place where you want to go, where everybody knows your name. I won't sing anymore.
Norm! That bore no resemblance to the tune. None.
I thought that was quite good.
None.
The point is, we're like Cheers without alcohol at the moment.
And we're just all Cliff Clavin.
And no Woody Harrelson.
Tech world.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe I am Woody Harrelson. I want to be Sam. Can I be Sam?
No, you're not Sam.
Not Sam.
I am not going to be Diane.
I was hoping, but okay. That's fine. Never mind.
You might be Kelsey Grammer.
Oh, yeah, I think I am, actually.
These are my options.
Frazier.
So I'm coach. Actually, the chat room says I'm coach. I will take that. Yes.
Yeah, that's good.
The Captain Kangaroo of Tech, some have called me.
So we have no Karsten cam. This has me just sad.
Karsten put in a requisition for a Karsten cam. And I vetoed it. That's where it would have been. It wouldn't have been. He wanted a Karsten cam at his house that we then put an avatar, a little tiny TV screen there. Let's not go crazy.
That's pretty funny.
He made masks, plague doctor beaked COVID masks
bubonic plague ones.
Yeah, he made them out of leather and piping that glue, blinked in the dark and stuff. And he actually FedExed them to the two hosts. We had Marques Brownlee and Amy Webb on Twit this week, but they wisely declined to wear them. I wore mine because I took a hit for our guy, but it would have been a funny shot, the three of us in our COVID masks. Never mind. I'm glad it didn't happen. Let's see.
So can I start off with something here?
Yeah, I'm going to let you pick this. I don't want to – I think we need to talk a little bit about this, but I don't want to do a COVID show by any means.
Yeah. No. Well, there's tons of – I rarely plug anything, but I did a Twitter list of experts, and it took me not much time last weekend to go through, and I've been adding to it.
I need that.
As I go. So it's on the rundown. I've got – if you go to Twitter, look at my list. It's the COVID list. I have now 325 or thereabouts, epidemiologists, researchers, doctors, a little bit of NGO, few journalists, few policy people, but it really is the experts. It's really the people. And I am glued to it now. Last I checked, it had 1.4 or I forget how many followers it had. It last night it had less than 1,000. Now it has 2,600.
So if you go to Twitter, actually, I'll show you. I'll do it on my system so I can show people what to do. Because what's nice is Twitter has kind of brought back lists.
Yes.
Which I think was one of the best features of Twitter. And for a while, they were kind of deprecating it. So if you go to Jeff's Twitter feed and I watch, I'm sorry, Jeff.
Oh, no, night mode. No.
I don't even use the dim mode. I go all the way to night.
Looks like fine.
I think it looks good, doesn't it?
I love dark Twitter.
Yeah. Dark Twitter, man. If you click the three dots next to Jeff's head and go to view lists, you'll see his list. That's a little confusing because there is a lists item.
Control lists. Right.
There's a list item, but that's your lists on the left there. So don't do the one on the left. Go to the three dots next to Jeff's head, and then it shows his lists. And then if you click on his list, you can subscribe to it. And I think it's worth subscribing to because then once you've subscribed to it, if you go to your lists, and you see I have a lot of lists that I follow and I've made and so forth. What happened there? I don't know what happened. Twitter, I don't understand. How do I follow your list, or how do I go to?
It says subscribe. You show
from
your
subscribe.
List.
Now
from your list.
It should be in my list, right? Oh, I didn't click the subscribe tab. There it is. The easiest way to do this is that, and then you can, your Twitter just.
Right on top. Stop there for 1 second. Devi Sridhar, she is incredible. She's in Scotland, and she's there. I think she's as important as Anthony Fauci, and really smart. And I've learned a lot from her. There are scientists in here who reveal the latest of their tests, and it's very early stuff. And a lot of it I don't understand. I didn't understand something today about these assay serotology tests. There was some progress, so I went in. And I asked somebody, "Can you explain this to me?" And they explained it to me really clearly. They're busy. I don't want to bug them. But it's quite phenomenal to see science in action, which is what this is.
Very nice. Thank you for making that list.
So I just wanted to mention that. And I think if you're tired of talk about misinformation, the beauty of this is you go to where the experts are. I'm not bothered in the least by any disinformation. I just spend my day on that getting scared to death. That's all.
I have advised people. It probably isn't good to live on Twitter if you don't want your anxiety level to ramp up any more than it's good to watch the news stations. Well, you can watch Fox. That's very relaxing. But if you watch the other news stations, it might also ramp up just a little bit. Actually, Fox has gotten scary, too. You know, Zeynep Tufekci wrote an article in the Times I thought was very interesting. She is a professor of information science, a great sociologist, and has been doing some great stuff on her Scientific American blog. But she said something about masks. Did you read that opinion piece that she wrote that I thought was interesting? She said, you know, the government would have been better off if they hadn't lied to us about masks. The drumbeat has been very strong. Masks don't do anything. Only if you're sick should you wear a mask. She said, masks help. People who wear masks are less likely to get infected. What the government should have said is, there's a mask shortage. Please don't buy masks. Let the medical professionals who really need them have them. But if there were an infinite supply of masks, the right advice would be everybody should wear a mask when they're anywhere near people, because they do help. They may not be perfect, but they do help. And she made an excellent point. She said you could even make your own surgical mask. It's not an N95 mask, but even that will help for two reasons. One, because it does keep particles from spraying into your mouth and nose. But two, it also reduces the amount of time you touch your face. And of course, that's one of the big problems, is particles that land on surfaces that then you touch, and then you touch your eyes, nose, or mouth, and
as
infect
Stacey
yourself.
Removes her hand from her chin.
Yeah, like, well, touch your face. I sanitize. If I'm in here, I feel like I could touch my face because I'm clean. I've washed my hands. I've sanitized. I'm clean. But when you go out in public, you got to stop. We took a nice walk the other day, and We did a no-no, and I didn't realize till we got back. We went over to the middle school where Michael, who's now 17, went to junior high, and he couldn't resist playing on the playground equipment. And then I read, that's a no-no. Take a walk, but don't touch any metal or plastic surfaces.
Unless it's copper.
Yeah. So these masks I did not buy. I had we bought these months ago after the fires, these N95 masks. So I probably should bring them over to the hospital.
But there's now requests if you're a construction company, or if you're a nail salon, or if you're a veterinary office or a dentist office, and you have those kinds of masks.
Nail salons do not wear. Well, don't care enough about
them,
their people.
Whatever you have, get them to the hospital.
Yeah. So yeah. Because that's really the issue, and I think Tufekci was right. But you know, I this happens all the time. Public health officials don't trust the public with the truth, so they often shade it a little bit. Gary Taubes wrote a great article in the Times some years ago saying, you know, salt really isn't a problem, but because in some cases salt raises people's blood pressure, public health officials decided, well, we're just going to make that a blanket recommendation. Not all people, I eat a lot of salt, my blood pressure is not affected by it. So not all people are. So this is not unusual in public health where they make these blanket claims. The problem, as Tufekci points out, is when you do that and you're caught out, then it erodes trust, and trust is so important at this time.
Yeah, you should not lie to your people. No. I mean, if you know something catastrophic, maybe you don't tell the whole truth, but you shouldn't actively lie. That is nowhere is that good public policy ever.
So it bothers me a little bit. There is a silver lining, I guess, to all of this. HP's hostile, or Xerox's hostile takeover of HP is now off. Because nobody's at the office to work on it. There is also a negative. Google's announced that don't expect updates to Chrome or Chrome OS in a timely fashion. Everybody's home.
Can't they still work on it?
Yeah, I work from home. Like, I've put out entire publications remotely.
Google says, due to adjusted work schedules, at this time we are pausing upcoming Chrome and Chrome OS releases.
This makes sense, actually, because if you do have the thing is, a lot of people are home with their kids, and are going to be less.
There's another issue, and this has come up with Apple. As you know, Apple's very security focused. A lot of the employees who you would think could work at home can't, because a lot of Apple's security requires you to be on prem. Mm-hmm. Google has adopted, and maybe is less prone to this, I don't know, a more modern approach. So it's actually Ben Thompson had a great article on this on Stratechery. The way Google does it is called zero trust. Traditionally, businesses assume, well, if you're on premises, you're trusted. If you have a VPN and you're logging into the intranet, you're trusted. Google's zero trust assumes all resources, all devices at any time could be accessed by anybody. It's like everything is public.
Even before this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And by doing this, then you set up procedures and policies that are secure no matter what. And that is a better way of doing it than kind of making some assumptions about, oh, this guy's on premises. It must be okay.
Yeah, that's a super secure way to think about things. A lot of it's a big, it's a best practice in security.
Yeah, and apparently Google has implemented that, but nevertheless having trouble. I guess Apple hadn't, because a lot of Apple employees are either have to stay at the campus or can't do their job. And I'm wondering, maybe Google's having a little bit of that problem as well.
If you have something like Firefox, isn't that done remotely?
Yeah, that's the other side of it. You and I and everybody on podcasting and a lot of geeks work at home anyway. This is our normal environment. We're happy.
Yeah, but I mean, I'll even tell you, I mean, I'm not used to having my kid who is 13 and actually has a school that is completely prepared. I mean, imagine, I mean, you can't expect someone with like a 4-year-old and a 6-year-old to work from home and be.
Yep. No, that's true.
I mean,
you're suddenly doing childcare, and it's hard to get a job done. I've worked at home with young kids. It's a lot harder to get a job done. My kids used to pound on the door if they knew I was in my office. They would just go, bam, 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 let me in. I know you're in there. I'm working.
There was a, I don't remember who it was, but a freelancer on Twitter who was a journalist. She was talking about how, like, telling other people who are freelancers, she's like, the kids will be okay. You just shut yourself in, get your job done. She's like, I have, like, been on a phone call with someone walking in a park taking notes while tossing fruit snacks at my kids so they would stop crying.
I don't know if that's the best parenting method ever. But
you know what? She's like, her kids were fine. And you know what? I've done something remarkably similar with my child when necessary, and she is also fine.
Yeah, just not all the time.
Yeah,
I was an absent father somewhat because I remember my kids saying, "Put the BlackBerry down," because even pre-smartphone, I would be looking at typing on my little keyboard on my BlackBerry. They didn't like it, and I think it's maybe there's a balance. Obviously,
it is amazing watching these families deal with it. My wife and I are so grateful that ours are grown because it's tough.
Yeah,
it's hard, and you're trying to do your job, and you're both trying to do your job, and who does what? And I saw one thing come across in my feed today in the list. Somebody said one of the parents got sick and said, "What if the other parent gets?" And said, "Don't stay away from your kids." And said, "Well, what if my partner gets sick?" Well, we haven't had that happen yet.
We're a cluster, Lisa and I and Michael. And if any one of us gets sick. Well, there you go. We're all going to get sick. But we then close the door. And it's kind of hard. Michael's dad, I'm a stepdad. Michael's dad used to come over several times a week and have dinner with us. He can't anymore. It's hard for Michael. And we don't want Michael to go over there because he could go over there, get something, and come home and bring it home. Right. His friends, every Friday, we had 6 teenage boys in the house. Thank God we don't have to do that.
That's a lot of food.
It's not just food. There's a lot of sweat and socks and stuff.
I don't need that.
We've gone through a bunch of sliding screen doors. You can imagine.
Okay.
The other day, they were over and they found a metal detector and they found all the metal in the yard and they've put it on our porch. A lot of rusty metal on the porch. Don't know if any of it's valuable, but
that was fun.
It was fun. They had a good time. There's holes in the yard. Anyway, I don't mind that they're not coming over, but Michael's going a little stir crazy.
I'll bet.
Cabin fever.
On the other hand, I'm also counting. I'm at 10 days from my last ride in a New York City subway.
Not so bad.
Right.
If you get to 14, you're going to be okay, right?
Well, for that part, I mean, we had to go to the store. But my contact is just imploded from what it was being a New Yorker.
Oh, gosh, yes. In fact, I think one of the upshots of this, well, you know, when this ends, someday we'll emerge out into the world, bleary-eyed, see if it's still out there, and it'll be a very different world. I'm not going to be able to go to trade shows anymore and not be thinking, I can't, there's germs everywhere, germs. I wonder how many trade shows will get back on track. This is going to hurt the economy terribly. Vegas is shut down. And I wonder when it comes back, if it'll come back full strength. I wonder when the NBA and the NHL come back, Major League Baseball come back, if they will have the same size audiences, or if people will just go, hey, you know, it wasn't so bad not having a basketball game on every night.
Well, nobody misses baseball.
It's going to kill baseball. I'm sorry, but it's going to kill baseball.
My husband is sad. He's like, I have to be trapped inside and I don't have sports.
No sports.
And the other part is he can't go play sports. And that was a big part of his life. So
that's hard. What did he play?
Okay. Soccer? He plays pickleball.
Okay. I don't know what that is, but I'm imagining there's a ball and there's a pickle.
Imagine kind of a tennis court, slightly smaller than a tennis court. And you're playing with like a ping pong paddle and a wiffle ball.
I miss my pickleball too.
Hey, it's a good sport. It sounds like fun. You can play it forever. Yeah. It's not super competitive.
Will he play pickleball every day?
He plays it like 4 or 5 times a week. Wow. Yeah, it's good.
That's his exercise.
Well, I mean, he exercises too. It's just, you know, like, I mean, anybody who goes around and like likes to shoot hoops and stuff like that, you just, it's camaraderie. It's exercise.
No, it's great. I agree.
It looks kind of slow.
Are you watching a pickleball video?
Yeah, I'm watching video now. Yeah, it's kind of a nice pace.
It is a good pace. I mean, I called it less competitive. It's good
for
the joints.
I'd still miss the ball, but yeah. This is getting to my speed.
It was invented on Bainbridge, but my husband learned about it.
Oh, my God. You're in pickleball headquarters.
You're in pickleball HQ.
Oh, this is America's fastest growing sport, apparently.
It's America's slowest, fastest growing sport.
More complicated than it looks.
It's tennis.
I'm sure it is. I'm awful at every sport. Well, I would.
And Jeff's a tennis fan. Is it a smaller court or is it that's a tennis court?
I think it's a little bit smaller than a tennis court.
Yeah, I think it's a little smaller.
Or maybe it's much smaller. I don't play tennis.
It's very Portlandia, I got to say.
It's a good game for everybody. How's that?
Oh, that's good.
There you go.
Fun for all the family.
And you're 6 feet apart, so...
We used to play something like that.
Well, but you can't play it because everyone touches that ball.
No, you can't. Yeah, yeah. Unless you sanitized in between serves.
Well, okay, yeah.
Dunk the ball in bad alcohol.
Yeah, don't... I washed a spoon in Purell today.
Ugh,
Jesus. No, it evaporates. It's actually fine. I'm here to tell you. I survived. I had some soup.
You think?
I'm bringing my water from home. I'm bringing my food from home. Normally, I bring a utensil. I didn't. So I went out to the communal kitchen. With a paper tissue, got this spoon, put Purell in it, and cleaned it.
Isn't there dishwashing detergent out there at the sink?
It involved washing the spoon, and I'd be touching a lot more things. Sponges.
I thought your logic seems a little flawed
Sponges are filthy.
But you could wash your hands as you do it.
You could use your hands.
Use your fingers, yes, and wash your hands at the same time.
I think the Purell really worked. I'm going to say. It wasn't a dirty spoon. It was in the, you know, it was in the silverware
drawer. I'm
never
eating a Twit again.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, what if you get the Purell spoon?
It does pizza, maybe.
It evaporates. There's no, okay, maybe there's a thin film of aloe vera gel on it, but...
your tongue feels so soothed.
I mean, this is crazy. This is neurotic, but I have been microwaving the sponge every day after I do the dishes.
You should have a dish brush, man. That was one of my things of the week.
Why is that cleaner?
Replace them.
Well, I replace the sponges. I have dozens of sponges under the sink, but I'm not going to use a new sponge every day. So every few days I will replace the sponge.
Brushes.
All right.
Better.
So here's the question.
They grow fewer bacteria.
Really? Is that true? Well, sponge has to be the worst. Sponge is the Petri dish of the kitchen.
So what's the most erotic thing you're doing or thinking during all this?
Erotic?
Neurotic. Neurotic.
Neurotic. Oh, spoon. I'm hanging up if we start talking about erotic stuff.
Yeah, I know there's a lot of neuroses come up, don't they?
Yeah.
What's you? I'll think while you tell me, because obviously you had something in your mind.
No, I don't. That's what I was going to see, how crazy I am.
I've got nothing because I'm not very neurotic. I donated blood on Monday, which is not neurotic.
Wow.
But while I was there.
That is a beautiful thing to do. You took your life in your hands to help somebody else.
Not really.
No.
I'm like, they were very hyper-sterilized. Like the woman,
I'm sure.
I'll tell you,
when I got there and they gave me, they were like, and here's the tablet, you've got to do all the answering questions on. I was like, oh, hell no. But she wiped the whole thing down.
Is there a need for blood?
Apparently Washington State had a shortage. I think it's because people normally donate weren't going.
Yeah. When I got my gallon pin, I said, okay, I've done enough now. But I probably should go back to, maybe now.
A gallon's only 8 donations.
Okay, I got a bigger pin than that. I did about 30 or 40 donations.
Oh, okay.
Well, that's interesting.
Maybe my 10-gallon pin or something. I don't know.
Because it's a pint each time.
Do they need to test you?
No, they don't test you for coronavirus. If I have a fever, let's see, I donated Monday. So if I have a fever or start feeling ill before Friday, I'm to call them.
Oh, interesting.
Ah, that's interesting. Okay. All right.
But they don't know if coronavirus is transmitted via blood.
They don't know. the scientific stuff is just absolutely fascinating, but how they're figuring this out. I just got yelled at by somebody on Twitter that, a journalist, you're letting this is raw information. You can't do this. You have to filter it. Well, no, people can figure this out. Nobody knows what's going on yet. There's little dribs and drabs.
There has been a lot of misinformation, though.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Facebook, WhatsApp, especially WhatsApp's been used. There is an article going around, and I have yet to been able to find confirmation, that says the World Health Organization says don't use ibuprofen if you need or you're treating a COVID infection.
There were in France, they take ibuprofen more than in other countries. And there's a theory, but that's all it is. Not enough data yet. But hold on.
Didn't the WHO update it yesterday?
Science Alert. Is that
that's
a legitimate site?
That's the problem. That's the one site. No one has found corroborating information.
Yeah. Okay. Just a minister in France, right?
French ministers.
Oh, my goodness.
But it's all coming from the Science Alert
It's not
article.
The Minister of Art and Culture. I don't care.
Tesla is in Fremont. Fremont is in Santa Clara County. Shelter-in-place order. They have deemed auto manufacturer is non-essential. They have told Tesla, you need to shut down. Tesla, apparently, in defiance of the order, continues to operate the factory.
Of course he does.
That's what I'm actually super worried about. There are places, even restaurants, who in certain parts of the country who are like, yeah, we're not going to listen to you.
Well, you understand it's a existential, economically existential threat.
I do. I'm not unaware of that. I mean, my brother is a waiter. That's what he does as a living.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't just say, the government has said you need to do this for a reasonable reason. It's not like, quartering soldiers in your house or something horrifying. That was sarcastic. I think, are you going to bring out police? Are we going to have citizens who, want to fight for their right to own their restaurant?
I hope not.
That's very scary.
Yeah. A lot of charter employees very upset because charter is not letting workers work from home. They are, I guess, an essential industry. And they sent out an email on Friday saying, you can't work from home. You got to come in.
I think so. If you are a lineman or if you're in the network
jobs.
Operations.
Our engineers have to come in. They can't push the buttons at home.
That really takes everything that Kevin does and makes it pretty late. You can't push the buttons at home.
Kevin does it at home, but you have fewer buttons. We have more buttons. You can't. Could Kevin do that at home? I don't think so. Of course, there's bad behavior of all kinds. There is a SoftBank patent troll. Did you see this in Tech Dirt, Mike Masnick?
Yeah. Is this the testing patent troll or is this the ventilator patent troll?
Well, there's both.
Oh, both. Oh, geez.
Yeah. So the SoftBank-owned patent troll apparently bought up a bunch of Theranos patents when they went bankrupt. And they're asking one of the testing companies to halt all tests because it's a patent violation. Now, they have come back ever since the publicity and said, oh, no, no, you can keep doing the COVID-19 test. It's just the other tests. I love the Register headline. Theranos vampire lives on. And then this is the 3D printed valve. So this is fun. There's a company that makes ventilators that charges $11,000 for a replacement valve in the ventilator. Italian hospital had run out. They went around. They found a tech company CEO who said, we could 3D print these. He didn't release the 3D models, but he reverse engineered 3D models. And for $1 each, printed 100 of these valves. Now, the company that sells the valves for $11,000 is upset, maybe even suing on patent infringement, instead of doing the right thing, which would be to put out the 3D files so others could do it if they need the valve.
And I'm betting their argument is something about FDA approval, compliance, and safety.
Well, and that's what changes. Now, this is in Italy, so they don't care about it. But that's exactly the point. In fact, this 3M N95 mask is intended for carpenters and others who have sawdust in the air and they don't want to breathe it. And the FDA has loosened its rules and said, medical personnel, because there's such a shortage, can use some of these.
I think doing the valves is a fine and wonderful thing. But I've also seen, I put this on the rundown, there's a open source medical devices group. And, you know, I get the maker culture, but making people are honestly trying to, you know, kludge together ventilators. I don't think so. I think we need we need the automakers under federal supervision making the ventilators, not three guys in the garage.
I don't know. If you don't have a ventilator and the choice is between not having one a homemade one.
A remade Chrysler.
Give me the homemade one. I'll take that. If you need a ventilator, Universal Pictures is going to release. I know you were worried, Stacey, because you and your daughter were so excited about seeing Trolls World Tour in the theater.
Yes, yes, that was up there with. But you know what I am excited to see?
What?
Mulan and Disney Plus. We just got it, so
oh, good.
I'm like
the live action Mulan.
Yeah, but Disney has not said they're going to release it, but I really want them to because I really wanted to see it.
So
that is all.
Universal, NBC Universal, which is owned by the fine company we know as Comcast, is going to release three movies that were scheduled for release. The Hunt, which was scheduled on the 13th. The Invisible Man, which was released end of the month in February, but no one went to see it because the theaters closed. Emma, which is also released in February, again.
I want to see that, but no one else in my family
too.
Does.
I know.
So
I'll come
$20
over.
Is too much.
We can watch. Well, this is what irks me. And then Trolls World Tour, April 10th. They'll all be released to stream, but it's $20, and it's not, you don't own it. You're renting it for 48 hours.
Well, I would be okay with paying $12 for that, just for my ticket, kind of, that thinking.
Yeah, yeah. But, well, I guess they figure you're going to bring your daughter. That'd be $25 to the theater, so.
But, yeah, nobody wants to come with me.
You're
and
alone.
I guess if someone's
well, how much of that actually goes to the...
Depends on if you go on opening night.
What is the deal with movie tickets?
If you go during opening weekend, more of the revenue goes towards the theater owner-operator.
Oh, interesting. And then after that, it goes to the studio.
Yes.
But the theater operator gets it on the $20 popcorn.
Wait, yeah, yes. What, Jeff, did you ask me?
So do you have any idea what the proportion is? Because what I'm saying is if the theater is now cut out.
Right.
The distributor's cut out. So to look at the retail price of the movie theater and say they're trying to recoup that is not a one-for-one. How much would they likely to net for you from you at the studio?
I like individually. I think they get
for
whole
a $10
ticket.
Price. What of that?
So they
goes...
get the whole price on opening day.
Opening day. What
they're probably doing is, I don't know what they're doing.
Let's put it this way: you don't want to be a theater owner right now.
Yeah, but they also, this is to me. Let's go big, go way out here. You know, the internet, and let's look at journalism, right? It got rid of distribution, right? You're no longer a printing company, a printing press, right? Distribution was no longer your value add as a newspaper. It got rid of the middleman, and it's in this process of figuring that out. What this is going to do is accelerate the elimination of the middleman in a lot of ways. So think about something like toilet paper, which apparently is near and dear to Americans' heart. Kimberly-Clark, which makes which brand is, are they Charmin or are they the other one? Kimberly-Clark, which makes diapers, toilet paper, all kinds of personal care.
They make Kleenex too, don't they?
They make Kleenex. Yeah. They have been experimenting with a direct to the consumer model in diapers. But imagine,
I want my toilet paper direct from the factory at a reduced price.
There's a possibility of something like that here. And I'm laughing because Chickenhead 21 is near and dear to your rear.
they make Scott's toilet paper.
Yeah. So
and Cottonelle.
Imagine being able to sign up for a Cottonelle because Cottonelle is better than Scott's toilet paper.
Yeah, Scott is for the employer who doesn't really care about their employees.
Exactly.
But wants to save money with a 1,000-sheet roll of one-ply toilet paper.
Which is, I always feel it means that you don't value women in your organization.
That's
because women always have to use toilet
That's
paper.
That's absolutely
the
right.
The point here is that we're going to see a lot of businesses have the opportunity after this and the experience now of cutting out the middleman, which I think is going to fundamentally change the economy.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've already seen that. I mean, half our advertisers are direct to consumer.
Yeah.
That's like the internet thing. You know, Casper, Harry's.
So next
Warby
we're
going to
have
Parker.
The toilet paper club.
Yeah. Come on,
guaranteed
you can advertise
we'll keep
it.
You in.
We've got an audience that's dying for your product. You can just come on and advertise.
I don't know if Scott's going to go for it now.
Email Lisa at artisanalagency.com. Thank you very much. Well, honestly, that's kind of what's happened is a number of our, especially consumer advertisers, have last minute just said, you know, we're out of here. But what survived, it's a little bit of a problem. What survived, though, interestingly, I think is the more the business-to-business stuff. And I think I don't know why. I mean, if you make, you know, why isn't HelloFresh or Blue Apron going crazy? This is
exactly.
What an opportunity. Or Zoom, or I mean, you could think of dozens of businesses that actually will thrive in this. Of course, we can think of a lot of people who aren't. In fact, I really shouldn't feel bad for the movie theater owners. It's the kid behind the counter selling the popcorn I should worry about.
Those people, not a lot of people want that job or have that job. I mean, you can feel sad for that kid who loses their job.
Yeah,
they probably are.
What are you going to do, right?
Well, you can work in an Amazon warehouse.
100,000 new jobs. There's an example. Amazon also says we're going to prioritize essential products over, you know, I don't know what, the Chia Pets. And they're hiring 100,000 new workers for their factories. That's wild.
Yeah,
that's what I told my brother to go do. It's mostly, it depends
job?
On the factory.
They're also increasing the pay by $2 an hour in the U.S.
A lot of the shifts available are overnight.
But you could kind of feel like you're helping people too, though, right? I mean,
it's vital. It's now vital.
Yeah.
I feel that, I have a lot of questions about Amazon and their treatment of workers.
Well, I think that they're one of the reasons they're doing this, A, because they need it, but B, because this looks like you're a good member of the community. They even say in their blog post, a lot of people are out of work, full and part-time positions across the U.S. in our fulfillment centers. We know many people have been economically impacted as jobs in areas like hospitality, restaurants, and travel are lost or furloughed. We want those people to know we welcome them on our teams until things return to normal and their past employer is able to bring them back. That sounds pretty darn good.
It does. I applaud Amazon's PR, but this is, they need the people. They're putting the nicest gloss on it, and they're hoping to get credit for it. Well, and can I just say, given the government's antipathy towards the tech companies going into this and where we are now, the tech companies look just covered in glitter, except for Facebook.
Yes.
You could give Facebook an opportunity to look good on a platter, and Facebook would still like take the platter, throw everything off of it, stomp on it, and then run away.
It makes you think maybe they really are evil.
God, they're the most
they're just horribly
evil. I mean, they're just incompetently evil.
No, they're competently evil. They're incompetently good.
So back to your Amazon point for a second. We'll get to Facebook again later, I'm sure. New Jersey crashed the website for unemployment benefits with a record number of 15,000 applications.
Wow.
A lot of people losing jobs.
Mnuchin said expect 20% unemployment rate.
Gramercy Park restaurants? Is that what it is? Union Square restaurant? The big restaurant company in New York?
Yeah.
80% gone, 2,000 jobs gone.
Oh, my God. Boom. Oh, it's so hard.
I mean, I'm very privileged to have tenure.
Well, and a lot of graduate students are complaining because they're being made to come into work.
Well, and graduate students have always been the serfs of the university education.
Right. But
I'm also seeing.
Like, so, in other words, I'm not surprised. Terrible, but I'm not surprised. What are they doing? Yeah. Grading papers? What are they doing?
I don't know.
They're not teaching classes.
I don't know. It depends. No, they're not. No, we're doing everything remotely now. Yeah. What I'm seeing, too, though, is I'm seeing in my Twitter feed, I'm seeing PhD students who are scared to death because they had research projects they have to leave now.
Right.
They had a timetable, and in the sciences, they don't know what to do. Meanwhile, Italy took, I think, some huge number, like 20,000 medical students, and said, "Okay, you're in," without taking the test. We need you now.
Washington State is having PhD students and anyone, you know, with lab experience. They're asking for them to come and do testing.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense. Misinformation's a problem. This is an opportunity for Facebook and others to step up. WhatsApp, because it's so widely used worldwide, and it kind of allows these group messaging, and it has been a source of a lot of misinformation, and it's a little harder to control than you know, something like Twitter or Facebook, because you sometimes can't even see the messages.
I've had to, like, some of my WhatsApp chains, they're like worse than Facebook. I mean, I've just been, and like someone will post something and then someone else is like, "Hey, that was actually debunked on Snopes." And then the other person will be like, "What is Snopes?" And then there's this education process. And you're just like, it's like your grandma meets your crazy uncle meets like your science friend. And then there's always like the weird, like anti-vaxxer type, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And then there's Geraldo Rivera, who spread the phony Facebook meme that, you can tell if you have COVID. If you can hold your breath for 10 seconds, you don't have it.
That happened. That was on my WhatsApp chat.
Of course it was. What? My father sent it to me. I said, Dad. But you know what? And it's nice to be cool. I didn't send it to the whole list. I sent it to my father. And he sent out a message saying, "I'm sorry. I saw this on Facebook. I hate Facebook. This is wrong. Don't believe it."
Should I tell my Facebook story from last night?
Hold on. Let me read the statement from the Facebook newsroom, a joint industry statement from Facebook, Google, LinkedIn, Microsoft, Reddit, Twitter, and YouTube. We are working closely together on COVID-19 response efforts. We're helping millions of people stay connected while also jointly combating fraud and misinformation about the virus, elevating authoritative content on our platforms, and sharing critical updates in coordination with government healthcare agencies around the world. We invite other companies to join us as we keep our communities healthy and safe. That is about the least you can do is put out that tweet.
But all of them did it together.
Well, now I feel better.
So I guess it's what they could agree to.
They all agreed. Yeah, well, it was a bad idea. During an address at the Munich Security Conference February 15th, a month before this was declared a pandemic, The World Health Organization's director general said disinformation is as dangerous as the virus. We're not just fighting an epidemic. We're fighting an infodemic. I like that word.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, that's good.
Well, he's Greek.
Oh, no. Here comes moral panic, except this is information panic.
that's just offensive to the ear.
Infodemic. Fake news spreads faster and more easily than this virus and is just as dangerous. But again, a lot of this is lip service until these companies. The problem is it's very hard for companies to find ways to stem this tide. They've created such low-friction platforms. Anybody can post anything, anytime, and there's billions of users.
Yeah, it's up to people to learn who to pay attention to and not pay attention to. Survey after survey after survey says people don't trust what they read on social media, which is good.
Good.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
That's great. That means they're discerning. But stuff goes on. I just got yelled at by somebody, a journalist, because I retweeted a scientist who had this small test using a malaria drug in France, and in 16 cases, because it's all he had, saw some difference, and he tweeted that out, and that was interesting. Well, you shouldn't be putting that out. People will think this, well, they'll think that. Jesus, at some point you got to say people will judge.
Elon Musk then tweeted, oh, chloroquinine, it's the solution, without any context.
Now everybody's going to hoard it. Yeah. So now the UK has already passed a regulation that you can't hoard it or export it. So they can hoard it.
It really is exactly what happens in any crisis. You have some malefactors who, you know, take advantage of it. They hoard stuff. They scam people. They try to sell silver solutions on TV that'll kill the virus, as Jim Baker did, the televangelist. I think for the most part, in individuals, and it's not very public because it might be, Paul was talking about how in his cul-de-sac, one woman who bought a lot of stuff, she was a couponer, opened her garage door and said, in his cul-de-sac, said, there are a lot of older people, anybody who needs anything, I've got all the supplies, come on in, just take it out of my garage. There's a lot of that too. More of that, but you just says it's not newsworthy. Don't you think there's random acts of kindness happening all the time everywhere?
Absolutely.
Oh, 100%. Yes, I just donated blood, damn it.
You donated blood, damn it.
And there's random acts of meanness that are happening. I heard a horrible story.
Badly. No horrible stories. Don't tell us. Let me tell a kind story.
Okay. Jeff, tell a horrible story, and then you will be
the antidote. The antidote. Okay.
So Jeff is COVID-19, and you are chloroquinine. Okay, go ahead, Jeff.
No, just a friend of a colleague of mine went down to pay their cleaning person who needs the money desperately. And the cleaning person said, oh, thank you. Thank God. Another client screamed and started to threaten to spray stuff on the person.
Oh, Jesus.
Right. And that's by the way, nothing to do with the internet. People can just be horrendous a-holes.
Yeah.
Oh, now I have two nice stories. We are asking our cleaning person not to come, but we are paying her.
As are we, by the way. I want to stand up. Yeah, good. All three of us. That's good.
So, because if you're lucky enough to have a cleaning person, you probably should treat them well. Okay, so that's one. And then two is the efforts by people to buy gift cards to restaurants. And there are several efforts to make it easy to see restaurants in your areas and get them online and buy.
That's a great idea. And then when it's over, you'll go out to eat.
Yes. And then also, if you're worried that maybe the restaurant will be out of business and your gift card is nothing, which is a legit worry. And if you don't have a lot of income, that makes sense. You can also, some people are buying food and getting takeout for hospital workers.
Nice. There you go.
Those are two very nice
things. We got to all pitch in. Meanwhile, let's do a little pickleball interval. A little interlude. I have some, let's just watch some pickleball. It's a great sport, and it's something we're all going to be missing.
Between every match, they come off to explain it.
They say, let me tell you what you just saw. Let's watch a little more pickleball.
So Andrew is a award-winning pickleball player.
He's a champion?
He's a champion.
Oh, my God.
He's not
you must
professional.
Be so proud.
He's amateur.
You must be so
proud. I did
meet
a professional pickleball player once. And
There's no professional pickleball.
There is professional pickleball. I had no idea, and this was at a conference. And one of the speakers was introduced as a professional pickleball player, and I was just like, what?
Professional pickleball player. Andrew Higginbotham. You know, I would like to... Oh, okay. It should be. Mr. Higginbotham. That's what I call him. Google has also... there are conferences after... I couldn't even go through the whole list of conferences that have been delayed, canceled, or start streaming. The Cloud Next conference, which they were going to do digital. Now they just said, oh, screw it. nobody wants this anyway. And they're just not going to do it. Game Developer Conference will be going on right now in San Francisco. It's not. People are streaming.
As a speaker, I have been both postponed now. So it's sad from a revenue perspective, but people are still optimistic. And then I have turned into a digital speaker at another conference.
Oh, that's good. Well, you're set to do that.
I don't know about that.
You know, one thing that bothers me, though, I see this a lot. Well, we're going to postpone until April 1st.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Most people are postponing until November or September.
It's going to be a really busy October, yeah.
So
I will tell you guys, I, up until last night, was evaluating doing a conference in September in Austin. Was going to announce it at some point in time, but everything was going.
Oh.
But I pulled the plug on it.
This is what you've been working on?
Yeah.
This is what you mentioned last week. Oh, I'm sorry, Stacey.
So I'm real bummed, but just given
I think that's wise. You don't want to be on the hook for that, and you don't know what's going to happen this fall.
Well, and here's what seems to be happening. Until we have – so this is what this video did in the Britain thing. Is hide immunity doesn't work because the best way to get hide immunity is injections and we don't have
herd immunity.
Right?
Herd immunity.
Herd immunity. Sorry.
Yeah. Okay.
And you're talking about the Hyde Amendment again. You voted against the Hyde Amendment. I just want you to know.
So the problem is that we will, if we all tamp down, we'll do a good job. But then when we start coming back out, people will get it again. And then we'll have to tamp down again. And it's going to be an oscillation until such time as we have a vaccination. And so
that's a year off. They did the first human trials a couple of days ago, which means they have to wait and watch her for a year before it's safe to use in humans, and then they can start mass production. So
you're saying
we're stuck in this for a year.
No, we could be in pretty good shape in July, but then here it starts again. Go back into your homes, and it may be an oscillation, is one theory. So we'll be in and out.
There's two really good things to read on that. And here, I'll put them in the rundown. Copy. I can do this. Maybe. Where should I put them in the rundown? I never added
them in chat.
The oh, chat.
Yeah.
Ta-da.
Ta-da. It's a little easier for everybody. Okay, tell us about these things.
Did I put them in? No, I put them in Elizabeth Warren says Facebook has reported. What? How did I do that? Okay, I will just tell you about them. One is a Twitter thread. I'll just go. One
I'm
is
good
the New
at
York Times.
If you give me information, I could probably find the page.
Sorry. One is the opinion article, "The Coronavirus is Here to Stay, So What Happens Next?" written by an oncologist, a medical ethicist, an epidemiologist, a biostatistician. And that is exactly what Jeff was talking about. And then the other is a Twitter thread on the Imperial College report on COVID-19.
Right. Right.
This is by Jeremy C. Young.
Which is an excellent thread, as I remember that one, yes.
Yeah, here's the thread. I'll pop the thread is in the
chat room
IRC.
Is also good since you're in the chat room. That's actually a
I was like this place that I'm waving
this
at.
This thing. Yeah.
And then the New York. So together those things, that thread plus the report, if you want to read the report.
So this is the report that said what England had thought to do, this herd immunity thing you were talking about, right, Jeff, didn't work. Wasn't going to work.
Well, the problem was they used the wrong data. They used just a kind of a general flu data of how many would need to be hospitalized. And they quickly saw that their hospitals were going to be badly overrun if people were out there just mucking around saying, oh, let's all get sick because it'll happen to get over with faster.
Yeah.
And they realized, and the problem, and scientists in the UK were having a fit because they were not revealing any of their thinking behind this policy. So the scientists had nothing to react to and nothing to correct. And so that Imperial College paper came out, and that was that. I think Young says, same thing happened in the U.S. That's why there was a lot more kind of panic in the U.S. and saying, uh-oh, we're closing down.
I am impressed, though, aren't you, by, well, you mentioned Governor Cuomo in New York, but our governor, Gavin Newsom, and the local authorities who
Washington, Ohio,
all just said, you know, we're not going to wait for a federal instruction. We're just going to do it. Actually, honestly, I think that's the way it should work.
Thank you, Governor Inslee.
Yeah, Jay Inslee's been amazing.
Yeah, he's been doing a good job.
Can I just say that I am so glad I am not in Texas because, wow. I mean, they're getting, Austin's fine, but John Cornyn today and, you know, John Abbott, the governor, is he John Abbott? I can't remember.
You just wiped that dust off your hands and you just went. You said, "I'm bye bye Texas. I am not. I am gone."
So bad.
So they're not doing much to. Well, yeah. We all saw pictures in Florida of people on the beaches enjoying the sunshine, sharing their.
Jeez. And the Florida governor said, "I'm not shutting them down."
Yep.
Fine.
I understand people like Devin Nunes, a California representative, who said, go eat out. We need your business. I understand that they're looking at kind of an invisible epidemic and weighing that with the clear economic consequences of shutting all these places down and saying, well, I know how bad it's going to get economically.
Well, you had a certain media outlet, shall we say, listening to a certain single politician, shall we say, saying, no, this is not a big deal. And the disinformation
Well, they changed
was
their awful. Tune, have they not?
Well, you saw the Washington Post comparison. It's phenomenal.
Yeah.
My in-laws and my parents, who a week and a half ago, and granted, you know, there are more cases, but were very cavalier about this. Yeah. And now all of a sudden they've like switched their tune, and they switched their tune pretty much in line with our great leader.
I understand that, though, because, again, you know, well, we only lost a few hundred people in a country of 300 million. What are you talking about? It's you have to have an imagination. You have to have information.
You have to have a heart.
I mean, but it's also a scary thing to do, because what you're saying is, we're going to have 20% unemployment. People are going to be out of work. People are going to be starving. People aren't going to be able to pay rent. There's going to be an the airlines are going to go out of business. So I understand the hesitancy to, pull the emergency brake. But at the same time.
But look at Italy.
Yeah.
And we are, the numbers, when you see the numbers, we are tracking day for day to Italy. Day for day.
Yeah.
And versus South Korea.
Yeah.
Now, by the way, let's be clear. I don't, and this is an amateur opinion, but China and Singapore and South Korea, which have been in Hong Kong, which all have been in good shape, you know, may not stay in good shape,
right?
For lots of reasons, right? It could be that new people are exposed. There's travel starts up. This is until we get a vaccination. This ain't forever. But there is a way to get this. So the problem in Italy is people over a certain age, and we're not far away from it, Leo, are being told we will not get vaccinated.
Yeah.
That's grandma and grandpa are going to be sacrificed.
Right.
That's serious stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, the Republican base.
Yeah, and the Fox News audience. So
yeah.
There's a certain
irony
in all of that. Yeah, but I don't want anybody to, at Lisa's parents, when Lisa, I think it was only a few days ago, said we were going to shut down the studio and all this, her mom laughed. She said, come on, you don't take that seriously. The very next day, she started taking it seriously. So it does track very closely the president and Fox News and what they're being told. And I'm not surprised. If you have somebody you trust, rightly or wrongly, and they tell you it's going to be fine, especially because you want to believe it's going to be fine, I don't blame them. They're not getting the information they need. And even I, knowing all the information, far too much information, look out there and everything looks fine. Nobody I know has died. You know, Tom Hanks is coming home from the hospital. What are we worried about? I understand you kind of want to believe all that, right?
I just thought this morning at Facebook, as I know, is home and has it. I'm looking at these at my Twitter list, and there are really prominent people in the field who've been treating people, and as a result have gotten it because they don't have the proper equipment.
That's what I really feel for is the health workers who are really getting it badly, I guess because they're exposed multiple times. They don't get a chance to recover. I'm not sure why, but boy.
Well, the other problem is there. I saw, again, I'm little knowledge, dangerous thing. I don't know jack about medicine, but I ask questions when I don't get it. And I saw that somebody was showing what they came out of doing an intubation. And an intubation, you know, as a patient, scares me to death.
Awful.
And they're skipping the prior stage, kind of not the oxygen mask, whatever, respirator or whatever it is, and going right to intubation for various reasons that I can't explain. But every time they do an intubation or extubation, they're in big, the medical workers are in huge risk because droplets flying all over, and we know it's infected. And that's the kind of, and they don't have, I saw one doctor put up a picture of himself. He said, "This is the same mask and gown I've had for 5 days straight."
Oh. Of course, you're supposed to discard it each time.
Yes.
So there are, shockingly, there are evil actors everywhere. There are people taking advantage of this. And the range of kind of evil varies. There's the hacker who created an Android app that supposedly tells you if you've been exposed to the virus and instead locks your phone up for ransom. And then there's the United States Senate.
Oh, I thought we were going to talk about the guy who bought all the hand lotion or the...
Yeah. He's a poster boy, right? The guy who bought all the hand sanitizer.
I wanted to hear from the reporter who got that guy to be the front page of the newspaper
Florida
for that
man.
Story.
Yeah.
I'm serious. I mean,
well, and then the people who used the overhead image to crowdsource the location.
Yeah. That's a good example of course, I don't want to encourage that because how many times has Reddit discovered somebody they thought did something and it wasn't the right person? The Senate is working on something they call the Earn It Act. They are pulling every stop in misrepresentation and evil out on this one. The Earn It Act threatens Section 230 protections for companies like Twitter, Facebook, and others. They have to earn those protections.
God, how I hate this.
And the way they earn the protections is by showing a National Commission on Online Child Sexual Exploitation Prevention that they are doing the best practices, so-called best practices, which are determined by this committee, for owners of internet platforms to prevent, reduce, and respond to child exploitation. Now, when Richard Blumenthal, Democrat of Connecticut, was asked why he hated encryption, he says, there's nothing about encryption in the Earn It Act. Well, they don't have to. So this is, you know, nobody's promoting child exploitation. No, everybody hates that. But that doesn't really seem to be what this is about. By the way, if the committee says somebody's doing the best practices, the attorney general gets to decide. And we know how Attorney General Barr feels about encryption. He says best practice is to force encrypted messaging systems to give law enforcement the keys. So this bill from Lindsey Graham and Dick Blumenthal would give Barr the power to demand that tech companies obey him. I'm reading from Bruce Schneier's blog. Or face serious repercussions, including the civil and criminal liability they'd face if they lost protection under Section 230. WhatsApp, Signal, Facebook, everybody would have a choice. Either we're now suddenly liable. What? Imagine if you said to the phone company, you're liable for every conversation that goes on over telephones unless you just record it all and give us the recordings.
To be fair, the phone companies have been very willing to give data to the feds.
But they've never been liable. So they just do it anyway. Nobody's forcing them to do it. They just do it anyway. They're good patriots. They're good citizens.
You could argue that that's why this is now being pushed to the fore.
Yes, because encrypted conversations, even video and audio conversations over, say, WhatsApp, are dark to law enforcement. They don't like that. So they wish they could wiretap everything. The difference is when you go to the phone company, you have to have a lawful order. You can't just say, hey, can you give us that recording? You have to have a warrant, right? This would basically mean, well, we can get the encryption, but by the way, you got to weaken it enough so that anybody else with a little bit of effort can figure out how to listen in or hack. It is a terrible bill, and of course, it's been proposed. It's in committee now, and I don't think the time. So, they're using the age-old canard that think of the children. You know, this is to protect the children. Right. And B, they're doing it when the nation is very much distracted. There is a petition you can sign. Read the EFF or Epic or Bruce Schneier's blog. This essentially kills free speech online. And they're trying to kind of shepherd it through while we're not paying attention. That's because if they introduced a bill that said explicitly you got to have a backdoor in your encryption, they know we would all sit up, take notice, and say no. So they're not doing that. They're doing something sneakier.
And I was in the Senate with the working group on regulation that I'm a part of, and an aide in Senator Wyden's office, who was the co-author of Section 230, was very unhappy with the platforms because they weren't sending high-level people to testify against FOSTA SESTA. Because who wants to stand there and seem as if they're in favor of
child porn? It looks terrible, right.
Yeah, it looks bad.
Oh, I'm all for sex trafficking, yeah. No, they know what they're doing. They've done this before. Now they've got this. Yep. This has been weaponized.
Slice by slice.
Yeah.
Our freedom is going to go slice by slice.
So you can go to, Fight for the Future, which has done a great job fighting for the future of the internet all along. They helped in the boycott against SOSTA FESTA, which didn't work, but they also did some really successful boycotts in the past. ActionNetwork.org. The petition is online there. The more people sign it, the better. Will demonstrate that even though we are all sheltering in place or, you know, suffering from the impact of the virus, we still care. We still care. This is bad news. Let me take a break. Find some good news. There's got to be some happy stories. What about that bug? Is that a good story or a bad story, Jeff? The bug story.
No, it's a Jeff's going to have a rant story.
Well, we like rants. Rants are good.
It was going to be a good story, then it turns into a rant.
Prepare yourself. Meanwhile, let me tell you about our sponsor, Health IQ. This is a good story. I think a lot of people who watch our shows, listen to our shows, are very health conscious. They try to eat right. They try to get 8 hours of sleep a night. This is you, right? You exercise 5 days. You play pickleball 5 days a week. You deserve a better deal in life insurance because you're healthier. But a lot of times you're just a number. You're just a number to a life insurance company. That's where Health IQ comes in. They're a life insurance agency that goes to bat for you. They use science and data to secure lower life insurance rates for healthy people like you. And I mean it. Like, as an example, $1 million life insurance policy from $36 a month. See, people who are healthy have always subsidized people who are less health conscious. It's not a conspiracy. It's actuarial science. It's just numbers. But there's, you know, life insurance agencies are not, you know, incented to try to give you the best price. You need to go to Health IQ. If you're a runner, a cyclist, if you're into CrossFit or pickleball, maybe you're a vegetarian or a vegan, you deserve to be rewarded for your hard work with better rates. Because physically active people have significantly lower risks for heart disease, cancer, and diabetes. Health IQ is a concierge, a white glove service. They'll walk you through the entire process of applying. The policy will be underwritten by one of the top 30 insurance companies. It's good insurance, but they have savings exclusive to Health IQ. Savings you can't get anywhere else. But there's a big but here. You have to qualify to get the special rate. So it starts at healthiq.com/twig. healthiq.com/twig with a health IQ quiz. They put this together with experts in the field to assess your knowledge. It's not a self-assessment. It's a knowledge assessment. Depending on your score, as well as other related qualifying factors, you can save up to 41% on your life insurance premiums compared to other providers. There's no commitment. You'll learn even more about the potential opportunities to be rewarded for your commitment to living healthy. Just go to healthiq.com/twig. You can do it right now. healthiq.com/twig. It's fun. Take the proprietary quiz. See if you qualify. Then get a better rate. They'll walk you through it. healthiq.com/twig. Thank you, Health IQ, for supporting This Week in Google. I appreciate it. Jeff Jarvis in New Jersey. Hoboken put up a curfew, right? Wow. Ooh. You don't have that where you are. You can go out and feed the deer anytime.
Yeah, they're old. They've left.
Let's see.
There we go.
People think of New Jersey as, you know, the place across the river from Manhattan. You know, where all the food flavoring plants are.
We put grass over the chemical waste dump. It's very nice.
People think of New Jersey.
It glows at night. It's very nice.
As the opening of The Sopranos, where Tony Soprano's driving across the bridge. There's beautiful parts of New Jersey. It's a beautiful state.
It is.
It's the Garden State, I believe.
It is indeed.
Some parts are.
What is Baby Yoda doing?
He's holding New Jersey in his little Baby Yoda hands.
Oh, is that the New Jersey Twitter account?
Yes. Yes, it is. I think they posted that. Oh, my God. That's really? Right. I forgot. Yes.
Yeah, they're so great.
NJGov. They got some wild person doing their social media.
Two of them?
Oh, you know them?
Well, no.
No, there was a New Yorker profile on them.
Oh, God, of course. That's brilliant. They're writing a lot about the virus these days. Your bug story.
So last night I'm sitting here happily. I'm reading my Twitter list and going, you know, psychotic and crazy.
Can I just make some suggestion? Stop reading Twitter. Stop reading news. Stop watching news. Get an old movie and watch an old movies. Like, they're blissfully ignorant of all of this. They're just having fun. I've been watching old movies every night. I feel much better.
You're blind!
Yeah, I got my head in the sand.
Let me tell you what's going on.
Yeah, I don't care if it's Jaws. I don't care if it's a scary movie. Kevin's a big shark fan.
Well done, Kevin.
He loves sharks. I don't care if it's Jaws. It will take your mind off of it. Monty Python would be better, I'm saying.
I'm sitting there and I'm seeing people, my sister, the Reverend Jarvis, came to me and said, I just had a post taken down by Facebook because it was against community standards. My sister's a minister. She doesn't do community standards, right? And I'd seen like 10 of these go by and they were all odd. So I said, that must be some kind of bug. And as it started to grow up, I went on Facebook and I said, Facebook, you got some kind of problem going on. Lots of people are getting these crazy things taken down. And within 15 minutes, Fiji Simo, who's in charge of the Facebook app, came on and said, can you give us some examples? So
wow, you have some pull, my friend.
Well, she just happens to be there, right? She's also sitting somewhere at home with nothing to do. So I got some examples together. And I saw people on Twitter, too, and I said the same thing on Twitter. Let me know, and I put those things on. And she came back. At first, the presumption was that Facebook told its monitors to go work off-site, and that was the problem. And she kind of thought that was – she speculated that might be it. She came back very quickly and said, no, it has nothing to do with that. The spam algorithm has gone haywire, and it's taken down and all kinds of stuff it shouldn't take down, and we'll get it all back up. And I said, well, is this anything to do with coronavirus? She said, no, it looks like it's something to do with coronavirus because there's a lot of coronavirus spam. But no, it's just the algorithm went haywire. It's taking down too much stuff. That was that. So fine. And then most people said, oh, thanks. Okay, good to know. And stuff starts going up, right? So it's fine. But then there's always those people where you knock on the bunker door and they stick their head out and they've got a theory. And this is what's driving me crazy. So people, it was a bug. I didn't use the word bug. Dave Weiner used the word bug. It's a bug. It was a bug and they fixed it and the stuff's coming back. Everybody's saying, yeah, it's coming back up. Well, oh my God, this is clearly a conspiracy. on Facebook's part because two of my stories were critical of Trump. And so I know what they're doing. And no. And I said, it's a bug. There's plenty of other things to get upset about. But people were still going on and on. And I said to them at some point, this is like when your car breaks down, you're trying to psychoanalyze it and find a conspiracy theory.
Why does my car
hate me? That it hates you.
It hates you.
And it had a very bad childhood.
Yeah.
It's a bug.
This is the only still bad thing about staying home a lot. You have a lot more free time to come up with crap.
So yeah, and even this, today, they keep going on. No, you're wrong. This is a conspiracy. They're doing this. And I said, isn't there enough to worry about right now? But no.
So Facebook has restored all those posts.
As far as I know, they have. But it was taking a long time. It was into this well into mid-morning. Right. People were saying, it just came back. So yes. So then there were stories around, oh, my God, Facebook's taking down things around coronavirus. No, they're taking down what the algorithm thinks is spam, and a lot of that happens to be things. Because basically everything everyone's talking about in the entire world right now is the coronavirus.
Right.
So the odds they're going to take down coronavirus stuff are very good if they're taking down the wrong stuff.
It's Flay's Law. Never put down a conspiracy what you can put down to incompetence.
Yes. So that's what it was. I don't work for Facebook. I have no relationship with Facebook. I'm just trying to help people. I'm just trying to say their stuff was taken down. Something went wrong. Put it back, can you? And they did. And that should have been that. But no, never.
This is the cover from this week's New Yorker, which actually is pretty good. It's called Critical Mass by Christoph Niemann. And it looks at first from a distance like a coronavirus with a guy stuck in the middle, but actually it's he's sheltering in place surrounded by dominoes. One touch and they shall fall. I bet you that's how a lot of people, especially in Manhattan, feel right now.
Stuck in you imagine, I can't imagine, the weather's nice here, thank goodness, because I can't imagine being stuck in this is enough space for three people, but if I were in Manhattan in an apartment.
Oy.
Yes.
Or I saw some journalists post something like, when you're a journalist and your roommate isn't right now, and they're both working from home, and the person working from home that isn't the journalist is like chilling, and the journalist is like all out crazy. Which I totally, I'm like, yeah, that would be me if I were at a regional daily. Or
Yeah, that's actually pretty funny.
We also, as our faculty, we had some debate about this, but I'm glad we made the right decision. We told our students they are not allowed to go out and report.
Good.
Which is by all means the right decision. Yeah. But it's hard for them. And so they're in their apartments. They're trying to figure out how to do stories. They're trying to figure out how to get material for those stories. And then the other thing that's happening is, okay, I'm in New York still, but my roommate just left and left me with a rent check. There's just all kinds of, it's tough
all
around.
If I were a journalism student or a writer, I told my kid this. He's 17. I said, you're living through history. You talk to your elders and they say, you know, the Depression or World War I or World War II. You're living through history. Keep a journal. This is a great time to take those writing skills. And instead of going out and looking for a story, start just writing about it, writing what you're experiencing, writing what it's about.
Facebook to put together communities of people.
Or do that. I mean, there's lots of things you can do.
There's all kinds of things you can do right now that act as public service.
Journal from the Plague Year will... You know, that could be your bestseller. I'm just saying.
And right now, like thinking about people like my daughter, this is their 9/11, their Challenger,
sure
their
That's right.
generational.
That's exactly
moment
right.
Definition.
That's exactly
defining
right.
moment. Maybe.
Yep.
And man,
how's your daughter doing?
She is fine. Her friends call this the boomer remover, the senior deleter.
Great. Thank you very much. Oh, my God. The boomer.
They are definitely
hard. Now I know
hard.
Where you got it, Stacey.
Oh, my God. I did that.
And they think it's good, funny, haha.
It's the callousness of youth. They don't want their grandparents to die, but you know how kids are.
What do they call it? The boomer deleter?
The boomer remover.
Boomer remover. All right, we have a show title.
it's not just her friends. It's like youths all over the place.
Youths. What was the youths.
Senior deleter, I believe is one.
Oh, man.
And there's another one, but I can't remember what it was.
Oh, man.
Oh, find out.
They're not nice.
No, that's normal. It's funny.
So how many hours is she online with the school?
So her school is actually surprisingly competent. So yay, her school. They, when we had snow days, had to use Zoom for parent-teacher conferences. And so they activated their Zoom. They've already been on Google Class.
Oh,
so
that's good.
Starting tomorrow, she will have her first remote day. They're going to do their Wednesday is going to be a free, like, do your assigned work day, basically. But they have to log on within 10 minutes on Zoom, within 10 minutes of their period, their class period start time. They log on. They've got to have headphones. They have the explanation for the mute button, raising your hand, and they're going to conduct class.
Good.
And so I actually may do Twig in a like the next. Oh no, Wednesday is not a day. That's the day she's out of class. Never mind. I was going to say you may see me in a different place because she's going to have my office for most of the time.
Oh, that's so great! Aren't you glad you have this great streaming setup? You're ready to go.
Oh, she's not going to use. I'm going to move like the mic and stuff like that. But
oh, she could be very, very impressive with the mic.
Yeah, no kidding.
I'm doing this with the school conferences. Everyone, look at that setup.
Last night, after the, I guess, the election results on Tuesday, I guess that was last night, I'm watching MSNBC, and they have, you know how they have eight people or whatever in a panel, and they have all these people, and they introduce the last guy, podcaster, and he's got the microphone. Oh, yeah, he's a podcaster. This is our universal look now. I take credit for having invented it.
No, I'm really impressed because they're definitely trying to figure out how to proctor tests. That's one of their challenging things.
Yes. But they're worried the kids can cheat, which they can.
Well, there's an honor code you're supposed to sign,
parents
and then the parents. You're like, your parents are supposed to proctor the tests for them. I mean, I would
get my kid into Stanford. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, no kidding.
So how about Michael?
Well, the funny thing about Michael, he's been in online school for years. He's gone to high school. And honestly, I think that's another side effect of this. There's already been, because of the charter school movement, especially in California, California, you can create a school and get the state's money per pupil if you follow certain rules. It's called a charter school. So Pearson, which is a big, as you know, was my publisher, big education company, they've set up, they call it the Connection Academy. It's an online school. And it is free because it's a public school. They get paid per student just like any other school. It's a charter school. They have teachers online, sometimes live, sometimes on demand. They have, you get sent a box with textbooks and you got to have your TI calculator, all of that stuff. So for him, this isn't business as usual. This is completely normal. I mean, the difference is that we have to give him a social life. So, you know, we have boys' night on Friday night and stuff. Mm-hmm. We have those teenage boys I was talking about over, and that's missing, and that's hurting him. He doesn't like that.
So what tips would he have for the students who are now suddenly finding themselves doing this?
The thing that impresses the hell out of me is his work ethic. He's a straight-A student. We initially did this because he had trouble in classrooms. They were too noisy. He couldn't focus. So one-on-one teaching worked out very well for him. And he's been doing that for a long time, like since fifth grade, but all through high school. And I don't know I think it's him, or maybe it's because he's been doing this, but his discipline is amazing. So he gets up, his class starts at 8 a.m. He gets up, has breakfast at 8 a.m. It's, you know, he doesn't have to drive to school. He just goes into the office, but he starts class. When he gets out at noon, he makes himself lunch. He goes into the gym, goes on the treadmill for, half an hour, gets some exercise. After that, he gets to game a little bit, and then he goes, and then he does homework, and he'll go into the office at night after dinner and do homework. So that's the real challenge, is the discipline. Because you're not, you're not regimented. You don't have the structure that you would have if you had to go to school and be in school and it's time for lunch and you go to the cafeteria and all that stuff. It's homework hour or whatever. But he has that discipline, which is remarkable. And I would bet that's the hardest thing.
Yeah. And surprisingly, as a remote worker, I've worked remotely since 2008, five. I can't remember. A long time. 2005.
Wow.
It's that discipline.
You have that discipline. You have to. Yeah.
Which I don't have right now at all.
What helps?
I'm so distracted.
As a reporter, what was helpful is I was on a constant deadline. So, you're constant. You can't slack off for an hour and chill, right? Because you're constantly producing news. So I think it's harder to be disciplined when you're not on the hook for, you know, the flip side is I worked way too much and I burnt myself out.
But, right. You know. That's the other side, isn't it? It can actually go the other direction where you work too hard.
Well, yeah, because if you're a reporter, there's always, I mean.
Right. But in any job, if you're working at home, there's no governor in either direction. You can, you know, you can either work too little or you can work too hard. It's hard to work a normal amount when you're working at home.
And it's hard to work, like, as a manager, for a time I was an editor working, you know, and overseeing people. And it was hard as a manager to, like, you had to really touch base with people and communicate very clearly with them. This is enough. This isn't enough. Yeah. I think you're working too hard.
Yeah.
And that is really a skill that many managers don't have. In journalism, it's a skill that, like, journalists are terrible managers. I mean, I was. Mm-hmm. not for the same reason as all the other terrible managers, but
I'm going to generalize that and say most people, and I'm going to include myself, are terrible managers. That is a – managing people is a skill set that is not common. A good manager is hard to find, honestly. When I see people who are good managers, I'm always impressed. I don't think that's a common skill at all.
Oh, my goodness, y'all. Hawaii just said – oh, no, that was Tuesday. Okay, good. Said, please don't come to our island.
Yeah,
don't come on vacation
Hawaii.
For 30 days. Yeah. Yikes.
Yeah.
And Puerto Rico is trying to do the same thing. We're doing okay, and people coming in.
My son is in Bali. I said, are you on the island? He said, yeah. I said, stay there.
Jesus.
He's not going to be able to come home, I don't think. He was in Vietnam, and he said, they're getting very hostile to tourists here. I can't go into shops or restaurants. So he left, went to Bali, where apparently the party never stops. Yeah, there it is. There's the island right in the middle there. And but he says, I'm going to get really good at surfing. But on the other hand, nobody's doing any distancing or anything. That's, you know. And there are cases there, of course. There's nowhere safe. Let's do get those trumpets ready, Kevin, because I think this would be a good time to do the Google changelog.
The Google changelog.
Here's what's new from the Goog. And despite the fact that they're all working at home, they actually there's quite a bit going on. If you are using Google Advanced Protection, as I am, they are strengthening the protection. They're making Google's Play Protect scanning, which is their anti-malware scan on Android, a mandatory switch. And you can no longer sideload on Android if you have Advanced Protection. You can't uncheck that box that says only download from the Google Play Store. That box is permanent. I don't think that's a bad thing. They set up Advanced Protection after the hack of the DNC 4 years ago, saying there's some people, like, you know, the head of the DNC, who need to be extra protected. And so it involves the use of security keys, physical security keys, and there's a lot of things you can't do, and now they've added two more things. Google Lens is going to be at work on New York Times Magazine's annual music issue. Is that coming up this week? I guess it is this Sunday. You'll be able
this
to...
This is so 2002.
I know. Only just all you have to do is wear a headset, and the music will come to life.
Oh, Jesus.
Isn't that funny? Yeah. So who's going to do this? Point their phone at a picture in the magazine.
There was a Dutch company that did this for publications, I mean, about 15 years ago.
Yeah.
I met them.
They were really cool.
It was super cool, and they put them in advertisements and magazines. I remember them. I met with them at South by Southwest 2 years
in a row. Right.
But it was so cumbersome.
Yes.
You were just like, I mean, when I'm reading a magazine, I'm reading a dang magazine.
Stacey, are you old enough to remember to know the QCAT?
Oh, my God, the QCAT.
Yes.
I am.
I have one somewhere in my museum.
But just barely.
The idea was you'd go to Radio Shack and you'd get this free barcode scanner. And you'd plug it into the USB port in your computer. And as you're reading a magazine.
No, not USB. Oh, no. USB didn't exist.
It was serial. It was a serial port.
It was serial.
Oh.
It was your audio ports or something weird. Yeah.
I know the guy who invented it. And, it was something weird, wasn't it? And you'd be reading a magazine. Oh, look, there's a link in the magazine, which nowadays I think most people would just type it in. But no, you scan it. Your computer browser launches, and there you are on the page.
Because no one's going to want to type in these URLs.
It's like a QR code, basically.
It is a QR
which
code.
Also hasn't worked either, but fine, yes.
Not here, but in China, QR codes are like, flip, flip.
Don't you see them, Jeff? Well, I know you don't go on the subway anymore, but I think they were all over subway ads and stuff, QR codes.
I have never seen a single soul in the subway. Never.
Scanning a...
Never. Oh, you'd get laughed out of the car.
I love QR codes. I scan them all the time.
I do, too.
Maybe you're just old and cranky and a New Yorker. New Yorkers, you know what? It's the act of scanning makes you look like you're interested in something, and New Yorkers could never be interested
Jeff,
in something.
Who's this month's Miss Knickerbocker? Even I guess you're not old enough for that either. All right.
Like, what?
That's all I remember from the subway. Then
they used to have Miss Subway.
Miss Subway. Yeah.
Find that. Yeah, they used to have ads.
Actually, get ready. There's going to be a lot more of this AR style stuff because Apple released, weirdly, Apple announced, and this is kind of the changelog, but for Apple. Apple announced that they're closing all their stores worldwide, except for the China stores, which are now reopened. So you can't go into an Apple store for the duration. They now say, by the way, instead of like May 15th, they say until further notice. Which is, to me, not a good sign.
That is not great.
Not a good sign. They announced new iPads today, a new MacBook Air today. And
I'm very upset about this.
Why?
They're saying it has LiDAR.
That's,
it does
okay.
not have LiDAR.
Okay, so that's my point. So the new iPad Pros will now have better cameras and a depth of field sensor. It's not
time
LiDAR.
Of
they're calling LiDAR.
That is Apple's marketing. Unless they have done some amazing Apple magic, which maybe they have, this is not LiDAR. LiDAR is much higher resolution. It's incredibly expensive. You could not put it on a machine this big. Or this, sorry. It would drain the batteries. And this is a time of flight. This has to be time of flight. And I wish that someone would actually ask Apple about this, because the Apple marketing machine is just going into overdrive. And I think they're wrong.
Wouldn't be
it's
the first
time. It's not actual LiDAR.
They say, I'm going to quote, LiDAR, light detection and ranging, is used to determine distance by measuring how long it takes light to reach an object and reflect back.
Yeah, that's time of flight.
It's so that advanced, it's being used by NASA for the next Mars landing mission. And now it's been engineered to fit
with
in
Tang.
The... Now it's been engineered. And Velcro and space pens. It's now been engineered to fit in the thin and light iPad Pro. The custom designed LiDAR, they're using LIDAR, although I don't see a trademark next to it. Scanner uses direct time of flight to measure reflected light from up to 5 meters away, both indoors and out. It works, get ready for this, at the photon level, operates at nanosecond speeds, and opens up tremendous possibilities for augmented reality and
you
beyond.
You quarantine whoever wrote this?
So time of flight is not necessarily LiDAR.
LiDAR, they use the same basic science, which is like, I'm sending out light. LiDAR sends out a laser, and I believe, and I'd have to go back to my notes and
I doubt this is a laser, right? This is just a light.
Yeah. So if you want to, and those are, you know, light as photons, y'all. So it sends out light, and it usually is omnidirectional. The ones on cars are omnidirectional. Those are the big hunky things you see
right,
on top of a car.
Rotate really fast, so you have a 3D image. Yeah,
they're higher resolution. They need a source of power. They're not efficient, and their frame rates are usually slower because, it takes a lot of computing power to resolve the image and do all that math. So, in time of flight sensors. Work a similar way. You flash the light. So you do pulses of light. You flash the light. The light comes back and you take the reading and you do the math that says this flash of light was this far away. This flash of light was that far away. And then you create an image of what the light is bouncing off of, kind of like sonar or something.
Yeah, it's like sonar for light.
It's actually not, but we're not going to get into all of that because I made that
same. Sonar for light.
I made that same conclusion.
Look it.
I had
this is how it works, Stacey. I know because it's on the Apple website. Ooh, zoom in and LiDAR. Wow. That's cool. Can you do that at home? I wonder if it works backwards. Oh, it does. Look. Ooh. All right. So what would you call it? I mean, isn't that what was in? What was that?
Time of flight sensor. It's in the freaking phone.
The lighthouse. Remember that lighthouse thing we had? The security thing?
It was also
thing?
In the lighthouse. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. So it's a time of flight sensor.
But now I will say it is possible because Apple has a lot of very smart geniuses locked away in their spaceship.
I call them wizards.
Wizards, whichever. They may have figured out a way to cram LiDAR into a cost-effective, battery-efficient power, like, package and put it on a computer that only costs... How much does this cost again?
$1,000.
Yeah, that's not LiDAR. and if they did
they
that...
They do say it's unprecedented innovation. Well, let me see what the... if I go to the tech specs, I wonder if they're a little more...
Kevin and I looked at this morning. He and I spent a lot of time. Xbox used... Time of Flight as well.
Yes, and that's the company, by the way, Apple bought. The Israeli company that created the Xbox.
PrimeSense?
Yeah.
Is that it?
Yeah, PrimeSense. And they're an Israeli company. And that they're the ones who created the Kinect time of whatever flight sensor for Microsoft. And in fact, that was kind of part of the problem with the Kinect is the company that made it ended up going to work for Apple. So you're right. It's probably the same thing as in the Kinect.
Well, I imagine it's a much newer version.
Yes. Yeah, I'm just looking at the specs. Well, good news. You're going to see many more of these New York Times musical dancing flowers in your iPad because I think there'll be a lot more augmented reality going through the iPad.
Oh, so
that really isn't part of the change log, flowers. But I thought it was a fun conversation.
Hey, we got nowhere to go.
We're not in a hurry.
I'm making meatballs tonight. I don't know about you guys.
Ooh,
so.
Yum.
Ooh.
Actually, Google Maps is also making live view augmented reality navigation more prominent. Have you used it? Because I like the idea of
I love the idea.
Yeah, because I never know whether, especially in Manhattan, I come out the door at the Townite Center for Entrepreneurial Journalism, and I don't know whether I should turn left to go to Broadway or right. I hold this thing up and it says, oh, yeah, I see the building across the street. Go right.
Then you got to constantly, and I used it last time in Milan,
ooh,
but I was there a long time ago before the disease. And then it tells you, you're doing this. It's the new dumb thing you do on the street because you're having to move back and forth for it to recognize the buildings again when it loses sight. Exactly, Kevin. but when it works for the 10 steps, it works. It's spectacular, but then it gets confused again and you're standing there in the middle and going
that's not good.
So you guys never walk anywhere, so you don't have to use it.
Well, but in New York, this is exactly where I want it. I get lost. Easier.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in the new beta of Google Maps, the live view button appears the minute you search for an application.
Good. I really want it to work because trying to use Google Maps on foot is awful.
Yeah. Speaking of misleading fake news, Google updates its Discover feed to let you flag misleading articles. That's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
I find myself often deleting sources from the Google News suggestions. For some reason, they like to give me crappy stuff.
It's such a weird thing.
Yeah, it's just algorithmic. It's the problem with algorithms.
I know. There's a huge series of things written about frequent flyer,
right.
Not that I am anymore.
Yeah, the points things. Guy stuff, yeah.
Yeah, the points guy. So I get every one of those.
Well, okay, get this. I must have searched for sourdough. Because for some reason, almost every day I got an article about sourdough bread.
There's news in sourdough?
Yes. Actually, there was an article in the Washington Post today. I went to bread camp to take my sourdough loaves to the next level. Here's what I learned.
Did you know about the sourdough library?
No, but that's a great idea.
I just started a sourdough starter this morning.
Search for Puratos. PURATOS.com.
We're very famous, of course, just down the road a piece in San Francisco. Boudin has had its starter for its sourdough loaves for 150 years since the gold miners came here.
You need to do this. Yeah, there it is.
Parado.
So go to the.
What do they do? They have a library. That's, by the way, exactly what my starter looks like. I even have that jar.
Maybe it's easy. Search for sourdough library. You'll go right to the page. I don't know where it is here. I'm there, but I don't know. / Next Generation.
So I don't understand. No. There's a library.
Search. Go. Do what I say.
No, I'm not doing it. It's not me. It's Kevin.
Search Kevin. Search for Sourdough Library. It'll take you right to that page. Sorry.
So I started a sourdough
Carson hates me.
Starter in January of this year, Stacy. And it is so luscious and tangy. And
so there's the sourdough.
I feed it every day. I put a little rye in it at one point to really get it zinged up. Apparently rye flour makes a good kind of feed for your starter.
Okay.
It's so good.
How often do you bake bread?
Well, more often than I should. I actually put it in the freezer. Funny. I put it in the freezer last week because I said I can't. Normally I bake it once a week. Thursday's my bread baking day.
Oh, click on the guy.
Is this the curator of the sourdough library?
This is the sourdough library. Every one of those is a different sourdough.
That's a lot of refrigerator space to dedicate to.
For those of you who do not have the chance to visit us for real, we have now turned the library into a virtual place. So please enter, take a look around.
There's and discover geeks of everything
about the fantastic world of sourdough.
Can you buy the starters?
That would be cool. So the whole thing about sourdough is it's getting its yeast. Jesus Christ, where's this guy? It's getting its yeast from the air, and there's different yeasts in the air.
Right.
So they actually talk about the terroir of sourdough, just as they would with wine. We're in the wine country up here, so I think we have a very nice sourdough. You know, I should ship you some of mine, and you could ship me some of yours.
Well, I literally just started mine. We're actually using it as a science project. I'm happy to ship you some, but we made two recipes. One, the New York Times sourdough starter recipe that involves pineapple juice, and the other is just flour and water.
Basically, it's flour and water for me, and you just leave it out a little bit because it's going to get it from the air, and it develops over time. You have to feed it, and it tastes so good, and it's unique. You know, that's why you have to have a library because it's different. Everybody has a different flavor. I just really like it.
So when you take a jar like the sourdough library has there,
yeah.
How much do you actually use of it each time?
250 grams in the recipe I use.
And it replicates on its own? Or how do you?
Yeah, because every time you feed it, it gets bigger. You actually end up throwing out a lot of it because it grows. I just did, Stacey? I had it in these mason jars with the lid. And, I actually labeled it. I even gave it a name. I called it Liz. I made one called Bernie and one called Liz. I should have made one called Joe. I blew it. But I love these crocs with French mustard in them, the grain mustard, moutarde de Meaux. And they have, they used to have cork caps. Now they make red plastic caps. But I thought I had one. That's a good sourdough holder.
A crock-a-starter.
So that's where my starter is now. I've given it to friends. It's a wonderful gift. Here's some sour fermenting dough. Enjoy.
I guarantee you, like, half of them throw it away, and the other half, like, 2 years after they throw it away, they're like, oh, I wish I had kept that.
Yeah, because that would have been 2 years old now. And you can freeze it. You don't have to keep it alive and feed it. It'll freeze perfectly well.
Have you read Robin Sloan? It wasn't his best book, but have you read Sourdough by Robin Sloan?
No.
He's the guy who wrote Mr. Penumbra's 24-hour bookstore.
Oh, cool.
Yes. And the book on sourdough is about robots and making sourdough bread. And it's delightful.
So Perato is a Sicilian winemaker. And so the bread starter is a sideline. But in the wine country, that's where you get the best starters because of the grapes. Just saying. We're just wandering all over the place.
I feel like we haven't talked about anything from Google.
I'm doing the change.
Are we done? We're in the middle of the change. I'm sorry.
We're in the middle of Google land.
Yeah, Google Translate.
We're on Google Island.
Real time. We're on Google Island. Gains real time transcribe mode on Android. I love this feature.
Ooh. Love it.
And now it's in Translate, so that means you could transcribe a language you don't know. there you have it. I mean, I don't know. We don't have to go on with it, but there it is.
Wait, Play Games adds, or they hinted adding a friends list for Play Together. I was like, that'll be perfect right now.
Yeah. But, yeah. Google launches its Work with Chromebook badge.
Isn't that pretty much anything with USB-C?
Yeah. No, not necessarily. I mean, this is good. So you'll know if you're buying an accessory, if it'll work with your Chromebook. Yeah, it might be just a little moneymaker, a little sideline for them. Oh, you were talking about this Google Play Games hints at adding a friends list for a new Play Together feature. You know, that was one of the things we talked about yesterday on iOS Today, since a lot of us, you know, pickleball's one thing, but a lot of us like to get together with friends and play board games and things. And there's a program called House Party, which runs on iOS and Android. Have you ever played you? I know, Stacey, you've played Heads Up. Have you played that game?
The game where you have the heads,
yeah.
Headband?
Yeah.
Yeah, we play that.
So fun. So you put on you put the game on your phone, and it'll show a name of somebody, like Andre Agassi. And then you can't see it because it's on your forehead. And everybody, all the people in the group are trying to tell without, it's like password, without saying Andre Agassi. He's a tennis player. And you're trying to guess it. If you get it right, you go down, and it goes to the next one. If you get it, if you want to skip it, you go up. It's a very fun game. You can buy packs and stuff. So that's in House Party. So you can play if you're, you know, you and your daughter are stuck and you want to play with her friends. Here we are playing House Party on iOS Today. That's Micah and his friend Elizabeth. Isn't that cute? I think it's really, it's a good, better way to play Heads Up. I think they have some other games in there too. So Play Together, I guess, is going to be a new feature we'll see in Google Play Games. Stuff like this.
I like it.
Isn't that cool?
Because I was thinking how I wanted like a chat roulette for games, right? During this time of sadness. So like, imagine if you could just like click through and maybe you're in the middle of a bingo game and you can join in, or charades, or whatever that game is where you stick everybody famous in a bowl. And
Exactly.
So I was like, oh, I need that.
That's, well, I'm just saying, this is we're all, you know, stuck inside, quarantining ourselves. This would be fun. You could play House Party with friends, kind of get some sort of, I'd like to see more, you know, there's some really fun card games with special decks. There's Carcassonne and the other new style board games. There's so much fun. I'd love to see more of that, right?
It's hard to do some of that, though, with...
online. Yeah.
Yeah. We were trying to think about having playing like Carcassonne, or we were trying to figure out Bridge. It doesn't work.
Well, that's too bad. Because
you're too young for Bridge. I'm too young for Bridge.
Stacey's old soul in a young body.
I thought it'd be a good time to learn Bridge, and then I realized it would not.
Why?
Because it's actually a good game. My in-laws play Bridge, and they tried to teach me. It's actually not a bad game.
My poor parents tried a million times. I can't. That and cricket, I cannot get my head around. I just can't.
They're both pretty complicated.
Yeah.
Cricket with the wickets?
With the wickets.
Cricket.
Cricket.
Or no, cricket with
not
the...
Not croquet.
Cricket.
Cricket with a bat in the English. And the
fake
Australia
baseball game.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know.
It goes on 5 years each game. Yeah.
You know who's a huge cricket fan? Sundar Pichai.
Well, yeah. Ah.
Oh, he loves the cricket. Google Hangouts. There's... Now, I know we're not supposed to use Hangouts. I'm a Google Fi subscriber. It's the only messaging application I can use that runs everywhere. I love Google Hangouts. They haven't updated it. They're now removing stuff. Bit by bit, they're going to take this thing apart. They're going to tear off little pieces. Here's Ron Amadio's article. They're now taking out that really handy feature, Send My Location.
No! That's really distressing.
I actually... should I do a name drop here? Humble brag?
Sure.
I used that with Steve Martin.
Whoa.
I was visiting New York. And I was supposed to go over to their place for dinner. And I said, well, where are you? And he dropped a pin. And then I dropped a pin because I was walking, saying, well, here's where I am. He's quite a nerd. And we celebrated our nerdiness when I got there. He said, see, I did the... I said, yeah, I did the... No more, Steve. Sorry. Google launches Android 11 developer preview 2 with foldable call screening and neural networks API improvements.
Huh?
You know what else was abandonware for the longest time? Remember Google bought Snapseed, which was the most... I might have, yeah, we moved on. That was it. That was the headline. That's all I'm going to say.
Sorry, I just was like, foldable? What's foldable? I don't,
oh, because they're supporting foldable phones now, like the Z Flip and this Galaxy Fold and all that stuff.
Got it. There was actually interesting things there, but okay, go on.
Well, we can go back to it.
No. You go on. I'll read it in my own sweet time.
She just loves the word neural network.
I did. Okay. Neural network.
I knew what you wanted.
I was like, what are they? Is this BS or is this not?
I know what you're looking for.
Yeah. 5G experiences, people and conversation improvements, neural network API 1.30. Okay. Yeah. Never mind.
Meanwhile, Snapseed, which was an excellent program, Google bought it, gave it away for free. It's the best photo editor. I think it's wonderful. Android and iOS. Hasn't been updated in like 2 years. They just updated it. Snapseed. They put so it's not dead yet. This is what we're reduced to. Celebrating a minor update to Snapseed, but at least it's alive.
The neural networks API is actually pretty cool.
Okay,
it
tell
lets
us about
you run
it.
Neural networks on your cell phone. So you can, as a developer, you can tap into this if you have something that you want to do. Run a neural network, basically.
Oh, that's cool.
And this will do it in a way that is more battery efficient and help you out. So that's actually kind of neat. Okay, and I'm done.
Actually, there's one more story that's like the house party story. There's a new Google Chrome extension, NetflixParty.com, that lets you watch Netflix with friends online. It synchronizes video playback and adds group chat. So when you're watching a show and you want to watch it with friends, NetflixParty.com, there's a Patreon page so you can support it. I think this is a great idea and perfect
Facebook
timing.
Facebook did this with Watch
remember
2 years
that?
Ago.
Yeah,
right?
yeah. But there's so everybody has Netflix, right? So, I mean...
My parents don't.
What?
I know. Every time I go... Like, every time they tell me this, because I'm constantly forgetting, I'm like... How do you live in the world? No, we have Netflix. Amazon Prime. I'm like,
that's pretty good.
What?
I gave my mom.
Have you seen the new season of Babylon Berlin?
No, I'm so excited. Is it good?
I have just started watching. Just started.
Word of warning, it's in German. Jeff speaks German, so he doesn't mind.
Very badly.
Do not watch the dubbed version. There is one. It's awful. Watch the subtitled one. So there is subtitles, and some people don't like reading while they're watching TV. But it is a great show about 1920s Berlin. It's a crime show, murder mystery show. And it's kind of interesting historically. It's based on a series of novels, very popular in Germany, I'm told, that there are, I think there's 8 or 9 of them. They go through the 20s leading up to through the ascendancy of Hitler. So the first season... was just the beginning of the Nazi Party. So that's kind of the backdrop of it, which makes it very, I think, really good. And it's the most expensive TV show ever made outside of the U.S. They put a lot of money into it.
And it shows, man. It shows.
It's really well done, I thought. Yeah, I can't wait to see that.
It's called Babylon?
Babylon Berlin.
Babylon Berlin.
And it's on Netflix?
I wish it were better known.
When you have nothing to do and you're locked inside, it's kind of the perfect show.
Did you watch Westworld Sunday night?
No.
You don't care.
No, we're over Westworld. They've left the park,
it's a whole new world. I kind of liked it because they're finally out of the park. I tried. Okay, so I know it's coming on Sunday night. Saturday night, I said, all right, I can't. It's too complicated. I can't remember what happened. I tried. I watched two different YouTube supercuts where they attempt to explain in chronological order, because the show does not happen in chronological order, what happened in Westworld Seasons 1 and 2. It took 15 minutes of very fast talking, and I was more baffled at the end than before. That show is insane. But they threw that all out. All you have to know is the robots got out, and now what happens?
So if I never watched the rest of it, I could watch now?
Huh? You could take it over.
Start watching now?
Absolutely. Here's what you need to know. There was an amusement park created. Well, you already know. You saw the Yul Brynner movie. Amusement park created where robots play roles. You get to go and role play with them as a human. You can't get hurt. Eventually, though, what happens in the Westworld saga is the robots become sentient and realize, this sucks. They keep killing us, and we can't kill them. They rise up. They kill everybody, all the humans, and one of them escapes with the personality balls of five more because it's all in a little globe in the back of their head. And now she's wreaking havoc in the – and it's the distant future. It's like a couple hundred years in the future. But it's cool. And, you know, it's a – you know, I think it's pretty good. At least I only saw one episode. It was pretty good. It's nothing like the first two episodes, which were impossible to follow. And I like Jonathan Nolan, but – all right. And that is your Google changelog. Plus a lot of stuff having nothing to do with Google.
Because that's us. Because we don't care. We have nowhere to go.
It's the new Changelog Plus. All right, she's got dinner or something.
She has the meatballs to go to.
You got meatballs. Let me. There's actually a bunch of good news. I'm going to run through. Shall I?
Real quickly. Let's talk about Google. Or good news. I'm sorry.
Particular Google story or
well, this one share? Is not, but it's really cool. The Uncensored Library. So Reporters Without Borders did something kind of amazing. Of course, as you know, journalism is censored in many countries all around the world. They created a Minecraft level. By the way, it is gorgeous.
It is.
12.5 million Minecraft bricks. It's called the Uncensored Library. You can wander around. You can put it on your own server if you want. And the reason they did this is the countries that block journalism and Facebook and Twitter and all that don't block Minecraft. Why would anybody block Minecraft?
He's
good. So you can go in there and read censored books, read censored news, because it's in the library, including a whole section about Khashoggi, which, of course, I'm sure you can't read anything about Khashoggi in Saudi Arabia. Sorry. Jamal Khashoggi, the murdered Saudi Arabian journalist. There is a whole Khashoggi tribute in there. There's also stuff from an Egyptian news site that reports on corruption and has been blocked in Egypt for 3 years. There's stories from a blocked Russian site that reports on protests and activism. What a good idea. And I actually downloaded it because I have a Minecraft server and I want to put it on there. But you can log in. There's a links in the various articles. And all you have to do is have the Java Bedrock version of Minecraft, and you can go into the server and read. And I think that's brilliant. That's good news. Here's some more good news. The Turing Prize has been awarded. A $1 million. It's kind of the Nobel Prize of Computing. $1 million prize. Oh, Times wants me to log in. I'm a member. You always forget me, New York Times. You always forget me.
They are forgetful at times.
Let me log in real quickly.
They're not as bad as the Wall Street Journal or Wired. Good Lord. Wired just, I just stopped subscribing
it's
to
Condi.
Them.
I know.
I'm like, you're just making it too hard.
They
I
keep
actually
saying,
gave you money and
that's
I still
not
can't
your
do
password.
It.
It's so annoying. Anyway, Ed Catmull and Pat Hanrahan, who worked at Pixar and created amazing stuff, including Render Man, all the stuff that Pixar uses to create computer graphics for movies. $1 million Turing Prize. It is the most, it's not about the money. I'm sure Ed doesn't need the money, but it's really about the acknowledgement of their contribution. The Turing Award, the Nobel Prize of Computing from the Association of Computing Machinery.
Wasn't that funded by
ACM?
No, that was the Russian funded it. That was different.
That's Pavel Durov? No, I don't think so.
No, not Pavel, but no, never mind.
Some oligarch?
Yes.
Facebook has set up a time server that instead of being off by 10 milliseconds, by 100 milliseconds, is only off by 10 milliseconds or less. We don't care.
Oh, are we talking about timing?
Yes, time servers.
Yes. NNTP. I just tweeted a story about that. Yes,
did you
it
really?
Was an IEEE interview about it.
Tell me about it. You are now the expert.
Oh, well, I don't know about the Facebook one yet because I haven't read it. But I get so excited about timing because it's crucial. Timing is essential to everything we do on the internet. And so I tweeted it to bookmark it for later, basically.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, so apparently it's a super precise. You know, NNTP is the network time protocol. You probably are syncing to it with your computer. That's pretty typically what happens. They've improved the accuracy of their time server from 10 milliseconds to 100 microseconds. Wow.
Whoa.
That's pretty dang accurate.
And so, yeah, my friend from my editor at IEEE Spectrum, where I write, she sent me the article on Judah Levine,
yeah,
who invented NTP, because I said I like this.
Oh, that's neat.
So here's a story. I'll throw this in the chat room for super nerds.
The big challenge, of course, I don't care if my computer's 10 milliseconds off. The big challenge, though, is because of latency, getting that accurate. Get it down to 100 microseconds. I don't know how they do it.
Yeah. Well, timing is so important all across the internet. Think about all of their databases that are trying to get synced. Think about things like geolocation, tracking satellites. And as we put more devices on the internet and start collecting data for them, especially devices that are moving, we're going to have a much better sense of timing. And it's super nerdy, but if it gets off track, you know,
Bad. Everything
goes to hell.
Bad things happen.
Anyway.
I have to allow this in my Facebook container on Firefox. Firefox won't let me go to time.facebook.com, but you can.
I dropped a link in for the thing on NTP's founder and then the link Neat. In the IEEE for the Facebook new timing
Yeah,
service.
I said NNTP, which I think is the news group's server. It's
right.
NTP.
Right.
Oh, NTP.
NTP. I said it wrong.
Sorry. I heard you say NTP.
Yeah, I just said I stuttered. Oh, and look, we have a Floss Weekly all about NTP. If you really want to get geeky. Sorry, NTP, we need it. It's actually had a problem with the Surfer software that allowed, as I remember, amplification effects attacks. It was a problem. But I'm sure they fixed that by now. T-Mobile is getting emergency access to Dish's 600 megahertz spectrum. This was something they gave up as part of the merger with Sprint. But in our current crisis, they're going to get it back.
Yay!
Hey.
That's good spectrum right there.
That's the good stuff.
That's the good stuff.
Yeah. T-Mobile calls it 5G.
Anyway,
technically it is, right?
If they're deploying the GSMA.
Yeah, they are.
GSMA 5G standard.
Yeah, technically they are.
Over that spectrum, yeah. That's fine.
It's just not that fast, but it's good. Tubi. Do you watch Tubi? Every time I talk about cord cutting, and I always get emails from people who say, Leo, you say cord cutting isn't a good idea. I don't. I love cord cutting, but I say mostly it's just giving you the satisfaction of sticking it to the man. You probably aren't going to save any money because by the time you buy the bandwidth and Netflix and Amazon Prime and YouTube TV or whatever, you're going to end up spending the same amount you would spend with a cable company. But he says, my correspondent, but Leo, don't you know about Tubi? T-U-B-I, it's a streaming over-the-top ad-supported service that's free. 20,000 movies and shows you don't want to watch, but it's free, and there's ads in it you don't want to watch, but it's free. 25 million users right now. Not 21st Century Fox, which Disney bought. Fox doesn't have a streaming platform. So they just bought Tubi for $440 million. So there. Lachlan Murdoch said, importantly, coupled with the combined power of Fox's existing networks, you know what they are.
Tubi, tell me they're not going to have a news network part of it.
I'm guessing they are. Provides a substantial base from which we will drive long-term growth in the direct-to-consumer arena. It's challenging, you know, Fox, MSNBC, and CNN have a problem because they need the cable companies, right? That's really 90% of their audience is coming through your cable. But they'd love to go over the top. They'd love to eliminate, you know, giving Comcast and Cox and Charter all the money. They'd love to just, you know, go over the top. Actually, it's the other way. But it is the other way, right? Fox, Charter... Charter pays for MSNBC, but they would like to just get the money directly from you, is what I'm saying. And they can maybe make a little bit more. But they can't go over the top because almost always, I know this from Tech TV, their deals were say you can't stream more than 10 minutes or whatever. So, but maybe this is the beginning, you know. Maybe they'll make a special Fox, streaming Fox, something like that. I have nothing more to say. Do you have any stories I missed that I should have said something about.
Let's see here.
The German military laptop that was sold on eBay with classified data. Security researchers bought a Bundeswehr laptop for just 90 euros. Good deal. Inside documents on a mobile missile system used by the German armed forces. Looks like a good laptop, too, doesn't it? Good, decent German construction.
Looks like some Compaq I owned years ago.
Yeah. It's definitely mil-spec. Definitely mil-spec. Any other stories? Ooh. Let's see here.
We did it.
Oh, we do have a picture of Miss Subways. Didn't they also have Miss Knickerbocker? I thought the beer, Knickerbocker beer, would they put up a poster in the subway with Miss Knickerbocker every month. There's Miss Subways. See the girls on telepoles and vote for our loveliest subway rider, Miss Subway. Oh, I think Stacy hung up on me after that. I probably deserved it.
Off to make meatballs.
Did she just leave? Did she wave goodbye? Oh, here she comes. Jeff, a number for us, please.
Oh, a number. Okay. Oh,
a number. Number. Number.
Let's see. Which one are we going to do? Scroll down. Okay. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to do a fun one. All right. So do you know Choir?
No.
Choir is wonderful. A Canadian-based group that takes over large spaces and invites sometimes a couple thousand people to come. And all then they teach them all to sing the same song.
Oh, that's neat.
And they do
kind of like a flash mob.
Kind of, yeah, but with a little more training and effort. And it's a lot of fun. It's really, really great. Those two guys right in front of that picture you have there are the mobsters.
Oh, I would do this in a heartbeat. I'd love to do this.
I'd love to do it. They do it in Canada. They do it elsewhere. But huge crowds singing something great. Well, now they can't do crowds.
What? Oh.
So they went on to Facebook last night. That's why I was on Facebook, because I was watching them just singing, and then people were putting up their own Facebooks as they're singing along.
Oh.
It was really pretty great. And there was their distant sing-along.
I can't play any of these videos, unfortunately.
I know. It's killing me. So it's not a good number to do. But choir is choir times three. That's why I figured it was a number. And they're going to do it again Saturday.
Oh, good.
So Saturday afternoon.
Let's all sing.
I'm waiting for the image of Leo at home singing along.
That was the origination of Musical.ly, which then got bought by TikTok. People lip syncing and singing along. Stacy is back. Sorry about that. Happened there. No, it's all right.
No, I accidentally hung up.
I thought you were mad at me.
Accidentally.
I was like,
sure.
Oh, he's ogling women.
No.
Done.
That was history. That's history. So what? Stop it. Go away. What is your Stacy's thing of the week?
So it's actually a place. This is Skype a Scientist. Go to skypeascientist.com. It's not an exciting website, but what it is if you sign up there as a parent or as a scientist, you will get on an email list and they will email you the topics for each week. So this week we had, what did we have?
Oh, so this would be addition to...
This is teaching your kids, probably it's younger kids, but even adults. Let me just pull up the schedule. I watched one about giant rats.
Oh, geez, Stacy.
For animal communication, it was a scientist who works with giant rats and studies like how animals communicate with one another. It was really fascinating. Cool.
In New York, if I may hold you over there, there is a rat academy.
Very scary.
The health department holds the regular rat academy training. So if you really want to get into rats, this is your path.
Oh, my God.
All right. So this week was is it March 18th? No, that's okay. How does animal behavior affect infectious disease with Nick Kaiser? He studies behavioral disease ecology. So and then there's March 19th, which is tomorrow at noon Eastern, there's a paleontologist who's going to talk about fossils.
fun.
Some of the other ones are ants, zookeeping, poop, corvids, bats. Chuck Wendig is hosting a book club. There's a book club on
science.
The moon.
Oh,
so
man.
You can sign up if you're a scientist to do a session. But if your kids are home from school, they can participate via Skype if you sign up for this, which why wouldn't you? It's I mean, you may not do everyone, but it's kind of fun.
I love that. And so it's a big group and then the scientist presents.
Yeah, the scientist presents. I don't know if you can ask. I think you can ask questions in the chat. I didn't really pay attention because I was watching the site. I didn't have.
Again, this would be so much harder if we didn't have the internet. And honestly, this is an opportunity at this point to take some time and learn something or just to broaden your horizons. Karsten had a pick. I'm going to give him a pick of the week because he's stuck at home. It's one I completely agree with. Harvard's world-famous Introduction to Computing class, CS50, is online for free. In fact, I actually signed up for it. I've taken a few of it. It's really, 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 really good. I've actually been trying to get Michael and his buddies to do this because they have some interest in this. You can get AP credit if you're a high schooler. You could also, I guess, take it for a certificate at EDX, which is where it is, edx.org, which is, by the way, a great place created by Harvard and MIT for online education. They do a really good job. And this is videos of the CS50 courses, but it's also worksheets, problem sets, and stuff. So it's not, you know, passive. You can really get involved. I enjoyed it a lot. I thought it was, these guys are really good instructors. It moves fast. Remember, Harvard kids are smarter than us Yale kids. So it moves pretty darn fast. if you can keep up, I think it's really worthwhile. I think if I wanted to do it as kind of the syllabus for, you know, and I would take some time then to talk with them and do problems and help them along. So if you wanted to teach some kids, this is a really good way to do it. Or learn for yourself, CS50, and do check out everything at EDX. They have some great classes, including the best programming course, How to Code, which is a really fabulous course. But a lot of courses in a lot of different subjects. That's Karsten's pick, CS50, Harvard's Introduction to Computer Science.
Oh, Karsten, we miss you.
Did you take, Karsten, did you take CS50 when you were in school there? Nobody's there. nobody there.
Karsten's like, see y'all later. I got things to do.
No, he's not here. No, he can't
next
come.
Next week, can you just put up a stick with a bow tie on it?
Yeah, that's a good idea. He wanted a Karsten cam. I vetoed that. But maybe we could put a stick with a bow tie. No, he's at home. He's participating. He's producing. But he is at home.
I miss his snark.
Hey, that's not all I miss. And then I had a pick, which I just heard about. I'm not yet doing it, but I'm curious about it. Around.co, quick, high-impact video calls for a new era of work. They've just coming out of a private beta into a public beta, which you could sign up for. I have. And if you get into it, you can invite your colleagues. It says, we took video meetings and made them less intrusive, less clunky, a clearer view of your teammates while making space for work. This is the interesting thing. The camera framing is AI based. So you don't have to worry about your background. It follows. It finds your face as you move. Crops out clutter and other background distractions. So you don't have to worry about laundry or your bed unmade. Auto mute from
kid coming in.
No dog barking, no washing machines. It sounds really interesting. Multiple laptops. All mics on in the same place, no echo. That's always been a problem for Lisa and me. I have to go in another room if we're on a conference call together. But this looks really interesting. Now, I only could say I haven't tried it. I like the idea. It looks pretty snazzy. It is around.co, and I have signed up. And look, you get a little round dot with nothing else around there. Which means
as we're looking for, we now Google has been very generous with the features added for Hangouts,
right? But it's kind of a stodgy old interface.
Yeah, so we're a lot of push in the faculty to go to Zoom.
And also a stodgy interface, although maybe a little bit better.
Zoom on my phone, I really actually enjoy because you could. It's got the driving mode you can move over to, and then it's very easy to mute yourself.
Most of our conferences now are Zoom, but this looks good. See, you become a little round circle ahead so that you can still get work done. You know, it's really more like, it looks more like the kind of thing we all need right now, which is ability for a team to work together, even if they aren't physically together.
Got it. I'm surprised. Now, is there much? Yeah. How much video is there with Slack?
None.
Oh, they have video calling, don't they?
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. It's been a while since I've been on Slack.
We use Slack, but we never use the video calling. We just use the messaging. Yeah. They just showed that you can integrate it into Slack and jump right into a meeting from Slack. I thought Slack had a video. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, they do.
But I've never used it, so.
I haven't either.
Yeah. I feel like Zoom is going to have a big bump from this COVID crisis. A lot of people are going to be using it to work at home.
Oh, yeah.
Skype of Scientist is actually on Zoom. I can tell you that.
They call it Skype of Scientist, but it's on Zoom?
They started it a while back. Yeah, I know. That's what I was like, oh, wait.
That's pretty funny. Stacey Higginbotham, go have, what was it? You're having meatballs.
I'm making meatballs.
God, I love
with lingonberry sauce?
No. Not just Italian style meatballs. So I can, because, you know, I've got to make things that I can freeze so we can pull stuff out when
Bingo.
We want to go out to dinner.
Bingo. I have frozen, I made a giant batch of spaghetti sauce on Monday and a giant batch of black bean chili, vegetarian chili.
Ooh.
And I froze tons of it. So, yeah, exactly.
That's is Lisa still doing the keto thing or is she normal now?
She's a mix. Is ice cream on keto?
No.
Okay. She's a mix. She's not full-time keto. She always said to me, you shouldn't be full-time. Just do it a few days a week. I said, yeah.
So black bean chili would be okay?
It would be, but I don't think she likes beans. She won't eat beans. That's the crisis we face.
Beans.
I love beans too, and you can have a ton of them, and keep them for years, dry them out.
Yeah,
I have a 20-pound of dried corn as well. If anybody wants
from your back 40,
I was gonna make. I got an idea. Must have been the middle of the night. I was probably looking at Instagram to make my own tortillas. So I ordered a 20-pound bag of corn. And and a tortilla press. I've never done either.
You had the what was it? Not the Pitomatic. What was it called?
The Thermomix.
Rodimatic.
Oh, the Rodimatic. Yeah, Colleen's got that. No, those weren't very good. They tasted kind of mechanical.
Really?
You know what my goal is I got to learn how to use this Thermomix. I'm completely intimidated by it.
Sign up for the intro course. It comes with the $1,500 purchase price.
I should.
Also, if you get bored and don't want it,
right here. I guess.
I know somebody will take
it off your hands.
Somebody emailed me, said it's been all the rage in Switzerland for 5 or 6 years.
I
use it every day, sometimes twice a day. And I thought, I gotta figure this out.
Again, you know what? Here's your deal. You got 2 months. You got through like the quarantine to use this thing, and if you don't, Leo,
I will this week.
You got to pass
it
along.
I'm gonna. That's good. That's a good threat. Yeah.
Yeah, because I'm really gonna show up at your
and
door.
Take my Thermomix, please.
It's time to take the Thermomix.
Or are you guys going to the grocery store?
We did. You kind of have to. I mean, we did a big shop last week. Lisa did it on a Sunday, or maybe it was Monday, because she doesn't want me to go to the store. And then I guess we'll have to at some point, right?
Yeah.
You can get
it
delivered.
Yeah, we have to keep going. I mean, some of the stores, Best Buy is actually doing delivery to the car, but also later they're going to start allowing only 10 to 15 people in at a time.
Well, we're going to be on full shutdown. They'll be gone.
Well, you got to buy food.
No, Best
you got to buy headsets. Everybody in my house needs a headset now that everybody's
pet store is considered essential.
Yes, because your poor doggy.
Doggo's got to eat.
Got to eat.
Dogs got to eat. Dispensaries in California are essential.
Here's the question. Would you do drive-through Starbucks or no?
No.
No.
Steve Gibson swears he got it from a Starbucks lid.
Okay, well, that's just...
He doesn't know.
That.
Yeah, you're going to have to make your own coffee, Jeff.
I have switched to chai.
I am touching my face again.
It's okay. You're in a sterile environment. Touch away.
Me and my Cheez-Its are sterile.
Thank you, Stacey. Stacey on IoT.com. Don't forget the IoT podcast. She's at GigaStacey on Twitter. I'm glad, for one, that you are stuck at home and you can't go on those conferences and those speaking tours.
And so you're here.
You're
with
us. I'm so glad.
Oh, that is true.
I'm so glad.
Well, today is such a nice day. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to take a coronavirus break.
Good.
Because Wednesday is the day my daughter doesn't have classes. So one day in the month of April, I'm going to be gone just because.
Yeah. Where will you go, though? The woods?
Yeah.
Yeah. Where else can you go?
The Olympic Peninsula is an hour and a half away.
Oh, yeah. Just walk around. Yeah. Nature is the best thing for us all right now. Just a reminder that nature is eternal.
So, Leo, if you're on huddled in place or whatever it's called.
Shelter in place.
Are you going to get stopped by the cops from going home?
Well, there's been some conversation about that. They say they're not going to do that. They haven't done it yet. Broadcasting is an essential industry, by the way. So we're protected. Uh-huh. So I could just say, yeah, I was doing my show. I'm in media. I'm okay, man. No, and I think that's reasonable because we still need information.
Yeah, I do. All right.
Thank you, Jeff Jarvis, Professor
Jarvis,
who's got the time off in his
I'm
book
working.
Line study. So you're teaching classes from there?
Well, I'm doing whatever I do.
Yeah.
No one knows what I do.
No, yeah. That's the best kind of professor.
Classes, Jeff?
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
You research? Do you do content analysis?
Are you kidding? He's the Leonard Town Professor for Journalistic Information at the Craig Miramont Graduate School of Journalism at the City University of New York. And the director of the Town Knight Center for Entrepreneurial Journalism at Creighton Newmark Graduate School of Journalism at the City University of New York. And he's at BuzzMachine.com at Jeff Jarvis on the Twitter. Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Stacey. Thank you all.
Thank you,
for
Kevin.
Watching.
Kevin being Thank out here Kevin working King. Making this possible. Thank you very much.
Taking a
Jammer B for getting it all
his life in his hands.
Fixed up.
Yeah. Thanks to all of you for watching too, boy. We're glad you're still there. I was a little afraid because people listen on their commute, right? And I was a little afraid people would forget about us. So I'm glad you're listening at home.
Please don't.
Yeah, don't forget about us. We do this show every Wednesday, 1:30 p.m. Pacific. That's 4:30 p.m. Eastern time. That's 20:30 UTC. You can watch us do it live or listen live at twit.tv/live. You can get on-demand shows, all of our previous episodes as well as our current episodes, at the website twit.tv/twig. You can also subscribe. In fact, I wish you would. If you subscribe, see, the beauty part of that is you'll get it automatically the minute it's available. You don't have to even think about it. It's just there. Find your favorite podcast app and subscribe. And we're also on all the voice assistants. Just say, Echo, play This Week in Google on TuneIn or play the Twig podcast. I don't know which would work there. Play This Week in Google. See if that works. Thank you, everybody. We'll see you next time on Twig. Stay safe.